much about.
We are being watched by beings from outer space.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Hey, come on. Let's find out what the children of these news reporters, Keith Olbermann, Chris Matthews, let's find out what your deranged, drug-dealing, Satan-worship, homosexual, sodomizing children, what are your children doing? What are they doing?
You're fun.
Did you know that Democrats murder thousands of babies every year? And sometimes babies are put back into the womb just so that they can be aborted again?
You strike me as someone I wouldn't enjoy, but others might.
I'm no meteorologist, but I'm pretty sure it's raining bitches.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Here's an idea. Why don't you mind your own business?
Roll another one.
I'm truly honored to be here today.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit.
I don't have no idea.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I don't want to answer that question. That's a clown question, bro.
Roll.
Roll.
I don't have another cent.
I wish I could help you, but I can't sleep with a black guy. I'd lose my endorsement deal with NASCAR.
You just like to hit and quit it, huh? That's how you roll?
Just pass it around.
Join us next week for a show about Bieber.
My crotch really, really loves it.
And now.
Yeah, we in here. We in this thing.
Our feature presentation.
We in this thing indeed.
Morning, everybody.
Oh, thank God it's Friday. Thank God.
What?
I just said thank God it's Friday.
Oh.
Thank God.
Why are you saying it like that?
Because it's
been
Friday.
A brutal week for you?
It's been a terrible week, yes. We've survived, though. We made it. I'm saying it's Friday. It's good news for everybody.
We were okay.
I just didn't know.
We weren't, like, hanging on by a thread.
are you all right? You alive? You good?
I am.
It's been bad. Are you going to make it to 10?
I think I'm going to make. Well, first of all, it didn't help that I had the Kevin sleeping going on last
night.
I slept from 10 till just before midnight, and then I slept again from 2:30 to 4. So
all
I
right.
had that going on.
That's fun.
And then yesterday I went for the largest steroid shot in the history of medicine in my shoulder. Last ditch attempt to try to get my shoulder fixed before I have to go to surgery. So I did that.
That's not going
to
work.
And you know how much? No, it's not.
Well,
no, the doctor already told me that.
Okay, good.
Oh my
the doctor,
God.
The doctor essentially looked at me and said, hey, why don't you write us a check for $560? We'll give you the shot, and then we'll never see you again because you're going to have to go to surgery in 2 weeks.
Yep.
Basically is what he did.
That sucks.
Yeah. And you know, they when they put that deep, deep, deep needle into you, mm-hmm. and they just it's in there for like a minute, and they're pumping and pumping. You've had it a million times, Kevin. You know exactly what it's like.
Lisa's had it a million times, too. Just,
yes, she has.
You know what I mean?
Yes, she has. But it it feels like you've been beat up. I mean, it feels like you've been hit so super hard, so you're walking around dying on the inside, which is why you went in the first place, but now you're also dying on the outside because you just you feel like you got mugged or something. So it's just a bad deal all around.
All right.
Just saying.
Good times.
And freaking Ralph being off, that doesn't help.
Yeah, that's true. That does make it more difficult.
I had several things that I wanted to talk about here today, but I think for many people who are just waking up, just turn on the radio, I think we essentially have to recap briefly what's going on in Colorado, which is just unbelievable. I mean, the worst midnight screening ever, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's not – didn't seem fun.
It seems like the last thing you want when you go to a film is, oh, I don't know, to get shot dead, but this – lunatic, this guy, I think his name is James Holmes, they've released, 24 years old, Aurora, Colorado, shows up at the Century 16 movie theater there, walks in through an exit door of the movie theater into the theater where the Batman movie is showing. It's about 25, 30 minutes into the film, which, by the way, really sucks if you've been looking forward for a year to go see the Batman movie.
Well, it's not.
You think he should have come in at the end?
He should have waited until the credits.
You wait till the end. You wait at least till the credits. I mean, let's common decency here, for God's sakes. But, I mean, you're sitting there. I mean, the last thing in the world you expect is a guy is going to walk in and just start opening fire and just start shooting everything that moves.
Yeah.
Like, what's this guy's deal? I know it's too early to tell. We're not going to know if it's a terrorist thing, if it's a guy who hates Batman, if it's a guy who's getting revenge at somebody in the theater. I mean, we don't know any of these things, but they did capture him. They do have him. He claimed he had a bunch of bombs in his car. They went and took his car apart. Nothing there. Now they're getting inside the apartment and trying to see what's going on in his apartment there. What do you guys think he's going to end up being?
I don't think
it's
just crazy.
Yeah, just crazy. I don't think it'll relate to anything. It won't relate to Batman. Like, he's not upset about the story arc. You know what I mean? I just think it's going to be one of those guys that shoots up a campus, and you know,
yeah.
And sometimes it's something as little as your girlfriend broke up with you or whatever, but they're basically generically crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just really ticked that Robin hasn't been in any of the new movies. Maybe that's what it is.
Maybe it was Robin.
Has anyone checked on Burt Ward? The first reports were that they were reporting that he was dressed up like Bane in the movie because he was wearing a gas mask, and they thought he was wearing something similar to what the character Bane wears in the film. But that hasn't been the case. In fact, I have a tape. If we have time, do we have time for an eyewitness?
Sure.
Her name is Jennifer. She spoke with the Today Show a little while ago talking about what the scene was like in the theater as the guy walked in and started just shooting at everything. Current numbers, by the way, 12 dead, 38 injured.
Wow.
That's a lot of bullets.
Yeah, I was in the very second front row, and I was the first person on his side. He's about four or five feet away from me when he came through that side exit door right next to the screen. And, you know, I thought it was part of the show, to be honest. Like, I thought it was just a theme thing. You know, he got dressed up, but then when he threw that gas can, I thought it was just, you know, smoke or something, special effect or something. You know, nobody really saw anything of it. Then he...
By the way, if you had a gunman 5 feet away from you, Lisa, who, you know, mowed down 50 people, would you sound this good 5 hours later?
No.
Oh, God,
I don't
no.
think I would.
I'd be curled up in a ball.
She's so, so lucky to be alive.
Yeah, absolutely she is. But it's just – to me, it was just such a surprise. I mean, maybe it's just the adrenaline is still flowing of surviving.
Yeah, sometimes the shock, you just kind of shut down all those feelings and later –
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy how upbeat and articulate she is.
He went ahead and shot his gun in the air towards the ceiling, and everybody freaked out at that point. And then right when he did that, he pointed his gun straight at my face, and I got terrified. I didn't know what to do, like deer in the headlights. And then I just jumped into the aisle and just curled up into a little ball and waited for him to go away. He didn't shoot me, but then he started shooting people right behind me, and I saw, you know, gun shells were touching my forehead. They were burning my forehead. All I could smell was, you know, smoke, and then massive amounts of screaming and panic and chaos.
Right.
And like I said, worst midnight screening ever.
Wow. Sure not what you're looking forward to when you stay in the line all that time.
No. Anyway, just a just an awful, awful story. And we probably won't talk about it a lot today, but Doc on the Rock, of course, will have updates for you as the situation continues to unfold going on there in Aurora, Colorado.
Got to tell you, I did hear a talk station coming in saying this movie is on pace. It could break some records. Do you think everyone will stay home now?
No,
and I was
don't.
Thinking to myself,
well, that is the case in some movies. I mean, there have been other movies that they have thought would quote unquote attract the wrong crowd, where violence has broken out, like in a Step Up movie or something like that.
Sure,
and that does happen where people do stay away because they think, oh, that's too violent. I'm not going to go. I'm certainly not going to go to a packed theater at midnight. You know, it's too dangerous.
Wait, are you using Step Up as an example?
I'm saying that it has happened with other movies in the past, and I mean, it's not an unreasonable question.
If it's a movie about gang violence or something,
it's right?
Absolutely,
usually it's about gangs.
An unreasonable question
for this situation.
There are going to be some people who will consider it. I don't think it's going to be massive numbers. I don't think it's going to affect the grand figure of hundreds of millions of dollars. But I think there are going to be some people who are going to go, wow, I'm going to wait until this settles down. I don't want to have anything to do with that.
I would think I would go to that theater. Because they have him in custody.
That's the safest theater you could ever be in.
He's probably the only guy who's going to shoot up a Batman screening. I agree with you.
So
I'm not saying it's rational. I'm saying I think there are some people who will consider it less for this movie than some of the gang movies.
I got you. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin DeVito, shall we?
There are
some inconsistencies in your story. Like every f***ing thing that you said.
From Breaking Bad, we have Anna Gunn in.
Yes.
Come on. Plays Skyler.
Yes. By the way, Emmy nominated.
Walt White, yes.
Got a nomination yesterday for her role, along with several other actors on the show. Very, very excited. Great timing to have her on today.
That show's so good. I'm so glad it's back. We have Mr. Movie Phone on the program today, talking about Dark Knight Rises. We have TMZ.com. We're checking in with them. We usually check with them on Monday, but we're going to check in with them on the Fred Willard story. Because that's something.
They talked to Fred yesterday.
Oh,
Fred
really?
Said it's all a big misunderstanding.
Big misunderstanding.
Really?
Fred said the police's version of events very different from his. He thinks it's all going to be worked out. It's going to be fine.
Okay. We also have Thomas Lennon and Robert Ben Garant coming in. They've written a book called How to Write Screenplays for billions of dollars.
Can I make a confession that will make me appear stupid?
Right.
Sure.
When I saw the title of the book, of course, I'm familiar with Thomas Lennon, the Reno 911 actor from The State on MTV. I know who he is. Funny guy. He's in the Batman movie. I had no idea that he was also a screenwriter. Didn't know that he had this history of writing these movies. He and his partner, the movie, what's the title of the book again?
How to Write Movie for Fun and Billions of Dollars in Profit or something like
right.
that.
Right. I thought that was a joke
Me
title.
Too.
Then I find out that he and his partner have written movies that have grossed $1.4 billion already. I thought it was a joke.
Oh, my God.
I thought it was a joke until I sat down to start reading. And then I was like, when am I going to get to the comedy? Because it's good advice if you want to write a screenplay.
Yes. I mean, including the Night at the Museum movies, Lisa, and Herbie. I think Herbie Fully Loaded and The Pacifier. And the list just goes on and on with all these movies. I mean, that's not a joke. That's an actual box office figure that they're quoting there.
That is stunning.
Yeah, I thought it was a joke too. That they had that sort of back.
We all voted
thing going
for
on.
This based on the fact that it was going to be funny.
Right.
Yeah.
And I hear the book is funny, by the way. It also has real advice in it.
Yeah, it's more real advice than funny. It's just it's sort of comical, but it's real advice.
Well, it's excellent. Great.
Who knew?
Great idea for somebody to write a book. I mean, this isn't how to write a screenplay. This is if you can write a screenplay, here's how you get it seen. Here's how you get it made. Here's how Hollywood works. I mean, that's the book that I think a lot of people really need.
UFC on Fox. We have tickets for you coming up. We'll give those away to you in the 6 o'clock hour. We have Matt Money Smith talking about Dwight Howard and if any team is ever going to get him.
Okay.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
But most people, you would think, might write down some lyrics or something and look it up online. And not everybody knows Shazam. And apparently everybody does know Shazam and use it. So 150 million people find out that's you.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I don't know how he does it. I don't know why we accept it. I don't know why we just go, okay, that's our guy. I have so many questions with the latest moments with.
I have the same ones.
I mean,
I have the same questions.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. It is 5:54. We're filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat. Our friend Anel Rivers is going to be joining us next hour. Put some flavor in your Friday on the Showbiz Beat. Hey, one fallout already from the Colorado theater shooting we were just talking about is that they have canceled the red carpet premiere in Paris of the Batman movie, which was scheduled for tonight.
Mm.
They just decided, we don't really want all of our stars out there on the red carpet answering silly questions about a film when all these people are still, their bodies are still in the theater.
Or us answering questions about the shootings.
Yeah,
one
exactly.
Or the other.
Right. Yeah, so they've canceled it. They've canceled all the interviews and told the press essentially to go home. So it'll be interesting to see what other fallout there's going to be just in terms of I'm sure there was a Warner Brothers meeting at 1 a.m. trying to figure out how this is going to affect commercials that are on the air and publicity and everything else. But that's what's going on right now.
Katy Perry needs to get away. She needs to get away from Hollywood. She's tired. She needs a vacation. She tells the New York Post Page 6 gossip column she's planning on going to South America and spending 3 months down there just decompressing.
Oh,
sweet.
Nice.
Who's she taking? Her brother, David, and a good buddy.
Mm-hmm.
How many people do you think that know David are calling him going, hey, good buddy, I'd like to come to South America with you. And, is your sister coming? Yeah,
what?
That'd be great.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know she was coming. Like, well, I guess that's okay if she's there too.
David is the most popular guy in the world right now.
No kidding.
Right.
Katy Perry says, let's go to South America and you can bring a friend.
I know that Katy Perry has been working very, very hard and nonstop for the past, 4 or 5 years or something like that. But how great would it be to be able to say, I think I'm going to South America for 3 months to just chill.
That'd be awesome.
See you guys at Christmas or whatever. That'd be the best,
right? That would, yeah.
Here's an interesting list. At least I found it so. The Forbes magazine has released its list of the highest paid actresses on TV. Have we talked about this? Did we do this list already?
I thought we did. But
did we mention Sofia Vergara was number one with $19 million a year? That's her Modern Family Family, her endorsements, her other deals. $19 million a year. The reason I'm surprised at the name at the top is that it's not Kim Kardashian.
Do you think she gets paid more than that?
Well, she makes $18 million a year, according to Forbes.
You think she gets that much?
And she's an actress because she's on a reality show?
This is highest paid actresses on TV, so I guess they do consider her an actress for being on television.
She's been in a movie or two, those scary movies or whatever they were.
That's right, yeah. That's her reality show, her combined deals. Chloe, by the way, was on the list at number five. Let's see. Eva Longoria came in at number three from Desperate Housewives, $15 million a year. Of course, she also has cosmetics endorsements and whatnot. Bethany Frankel, a former Real Housewife, now Bethany Ever After, $12 million a year.
Wow.
Jeez.
I mentioned Chloe at number five with $11 million. She is tied with Tina Fey from 30 Rock. Doesn't it seem like Tina Fey should make 50 times more than Khloe Kardashian?
She should make more than anyone on that list, except maybe Sofia Vergara.
Yeah, because she's unbelievably talented. And she writes, and she does it all. Mariska Hargitay of Law & Order, $10 million. And then rounding out the list, a tie with Felicity Huffman from Desperate Housewives, Zooey Deschanel from New Girl, and Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy, $9 million each. Those ladies made on television.
Wow, good for them.
Yeah.
Good money.
That's fantastic. Can I change the music for this story?
Yeah, what do you got? Kate Beckinsale. Yes, you mean Jessica Biel.
The one with the English accent?
Kate Beckinsale.
Jessica Biel. In Touch magazine says that she told Maxim magazine that she doesn't wear underwear.
Oh, ever? Yeah.
Kate Beckinsale does not like underwear.
Really?
So she'll occasionally wear it if she's wearing a very short skirt. Or if she's, she says if she's going on a mountain expedition.
Always a good idea.
But other than that,
really,
she doesn't like underwear. That's what one of the most beautiful women in the world says.
I'm going to go back. I still have her Tonight Show appearance, TiVo. I'm going to go back and check that out again.
And again and again.
Whatever it takes to see what I want to see. That's awesome.
How about
that?
That's
great news.
Listen up, ladies.
is that hygienic, Lisa?
No, I don't think it is. I would not be comfortable doing that personally.
Yeah. And some people aren't comfortable wearing
Kate
underwear.
Kate Beckinsale is.
I know. Well, good.
We could learn something from the beautiful.
Or
yes,
she's
we could.
Trying to get you all very interested
like
in her.
Oh, like we already aren't. She had us a long time ago.
Here's an interesting story that I'll close with. Kevin, you won't care that The Who is getting back together to go out on a big concert tour.
Woo!
Roger Daltrey and Pete Townsend, who you never stopped making fun of at their Super Bowl halftime show a couple of years ago, because they're 100.
They are 100.
And half the band is dead. They are still going out there as The Who. They're also playing the closing set at the Olympics, by the way. And they have already announced that they are going to be lip-syncing that performance.
All right. Why would they... Really?
They're setting us up so we don't get upset.
Because there'll be athletic events going on during the set, which I don't understand. At the closing ceremonies, what kind of athletic events are going on? Does he not understand how the Olympics work?
Maybe he didn't mean it that way. Maybe he meant like the closing ceremony has acrobats and other things.
Probably.
Who knows? They just want to control the sound. So they are pre-recording it. So they are going to be performing at that ceremony. They're also going out on the road, and part of what they're doing this time around, to make it interesting for the fans, is they're going to be doing, this is very, very popular in the last few years, is bands will go out and they'll play the entirety of an album. You'll go see, you know, your favorite band, and they'll do their regular set, and then they'll come back and do, you know, an album from start to finish. In many cases, songs they haven't performed in a long time. And they're doing the Quadrophenia album, which was a huge, huge album with Love Rain Over Me and 515, a bunch of other great songs. Because of the tour going to Providence, Rhode Island, this is why I brought the whole story up, because I think this is fascinating. Providence, Rhode Island was the city that was next after the stampede, the riots that killed 11 people back in 1979 in Cincinnati. So they canceled that show. So for their 2012 show in Providence, Rhode Island, they are making the offer that if you still have your ticket stub, it will be honored.
Well, they're pretty safe saying that.
From 1979?
Yes. If you still have if you bought your ticket for Providence in 1979
and we
canceled that show, then come on by. You can get into this show for free, which I think is brilliant marketing.
Wow, that is huge. That's very big of them.
Because, you know, they did offer a refund at the time from that show, but a lot of people hang on to ticket stubs, even if they paid money to go see a show, because now it's a collector's item or whatever. It's a souvenir, you know, because this is the canceled show.
79.
Because of the history.
I bet they won't get one.
I'm wondering about that, too, because if somebody hung on to it because they wanted it, you know, why would give it up now? But I just think that's hilarious that you could get into this show for that show.
Wow, two Who shows. That's just a double bad. All right, celebrity birthdays. Guitarist Carlos Santana is 65. Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden is 48. He made a deal with the devil.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
Yeah, he's got it all.
Ridiculous. Guitarist Stone Gossard of Pearl Jam, 46. Josh Holloway, Bean's favorite from Lost, is 43. Actress Sandra Oh is 41. Omar Epps, the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, don't help him out.
I was getting it. I had it.
With you? Sorry,
although technically he did do wrong, but I was going to get it. Actor Simon Rex is 38. Judy
Kevin
Greer.
Knows he's not the coach of the Steelers, by the way. That's why it's bad that Beer Mug jumped in, because Kevin was making a joke that he's the actor on House who looks like the coach of the Steelers.
Right.
Right.
But just so you know, Bean, Dave also said it in my headphones.
Okay. Thank you, Dave.
See, it's not just me.
Don't people who work on the show know what's going on?
Actress Judy Greer is 37. Dancer, country singer Juliana Hoff from Dancing with the Stars and Other is 24, and supermodel Giselle Bundchen is 32.
Wow.
And that's the showbiz.
Okay. Got tickets for you to see the Los Angeles Galaxy with my man Kevin. That's going to be tomorrow as they take on Chivas USA. That's always a great matchup, right? Who usually wins that one, Kevin?
Oh, the Galaxy.
Really? They'll win.
Absolutely.
You should see his face.
But I feel like somebody's a homer here.
No, of course. Of course they will.
So that's Kevin at the K-Rock promo crew at the first annual K-Rock LA Galaxy pre-party. That's coming up. We also have UFC on Fox 4 tickets for Staples Center Saturday, August 4th. Should we open up the phones for that right now?
We could, yeah.
Okay. If you want to win UFC tickets, you really, really want to go, give us a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. We will give you a chance to be there in person. You'll have to win a game. I think you're going to enjoy it. That's coming up next in the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yesterday, we're drawn to crazy people. I am especially. Yesterday, we did a topic about prison pen pals. And we were taking phone calls from people who write to people in prison. And who knew this woman would call? But this was maybe the craziest call we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
She, and you'll hear this on the call, is a pen pal with the cannibal dude.
From Canada, right?
In Canada. Okay. The cannibal, the gay porn star cannibal.
Yeah.
And Bean went to her first, and this is how we discovered that she's the best.
Do I have this correct? You are currently in a prison pen pal relationship.
Yes, in Canada.
Somebody that we have heard of.
Yes.
Who?
Luca Magnotta.
Isn't he the Canadian cannibal?
Absolutely.
What's going on?
I think I'm partially psychotic myself.
Okay, good. Now that's good.
As we stop, she is self-aware.
As we stop the tape, at least she knows she's psychotic. But we need to keep an eye on her, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Back to the tape.
So you understand him?
This just got weird.
Yeah, no. Well, I just have a lot of friends in that area that knew him, and it turns out like he's a really nice, normal guy, that something just snapped.
Wait a minute. Leslie. He ceases being a nice, normal guy when he eats people.
That's alleged.
Okay, so.
And listen to her voice.
She's angry at us. Stop the tape again. This is us live. That's alleged. Now, I don't know anybody.
Don't judge him.
Look, yeah, it's alleged, but there are a lot of people who are caught doing things or have enough evidence, and we're not on a jury.
Right. So, we're not in a courtroom.
So we can say, hey, sure looks like that guy ate people. That's not good. Back to the tape.
Allegedly.
It's proven, isn't it?
On.
I mean, he's in court. I mean,
he didn't go to court yet. He goes to court in March.
But you know that he's guilty, right? You know that without a shadow of a doubt, right? That he is guilty.
Not necessarily. There are some speculations.
He killed kittens. Didn't he kill kittens? And
yeah, but that's different. Cats die all the time.
Okay. All right. Stop the tape.
Really, they only die if someone kills them, or in an accident, or they're old. So they don't just drop dead all the time.
But aren't you out as a human being when somebody says he killed not cats but kittens?
Yes. To film it and put it on a video on the internet. Yeah. He tortured them.
I don't like cats. And at that point I'm out. You don't kill cats.
And didn't he also film his eating the guy or killing him? Wasn't that also on video?
I think so.
None of this matters to her.
He's up to a lot of bad crap.
Back to the tape.
Oh my God. You're a sicko.
Wow.
But didn't he kill somebody and like chop up their body parts and start mailing them and then
allegedly
eat part of it? I mean,
allegedly.
Why is this guy a draw for you? What is wrong with you, woman?
I don't know. He's my age.
Aren't there a lot of people your age?
Yeah, I actually lost my boyfriend over this.
Well, stopping the tape, she had a boyfriend?
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
He's the luckiest man alive to get out of there.
Wait, you're writing who?
okay, I'll be back a little later.
Smart.
I'm just going to take my suitcase of stuff.
Yeah, you should have.
Wait a minute. You had a boyfriend, and you were writing a cannibal in prison?
Yeah, but it wasn't romantically. I just sent him a birthday card because his birthday's next week.
Oh, my God. Oh. And by the way, do you have romantic feeling for this gay porn star?
Obviously not. I'm not on his
Obviously
team.
Not.
I'm not on his team. I just want to be his friend and touch his hand through the plate glass window.
All right, let me ask you this. Oh, my God.
You're
let me ask
crazy.
You this. Is it the celebrity factor? Is that what the turn-on is for you? Is that this guy has notoriety he's famous?
It's more of like I feel bad that he didn't get famous the right way because he does have potential and talent. I'm just wondering if he was going to the wrong places. Because all he wanted to do was be a model and in real movies, and he couldn't
Right, but
it.
Then he started killing and eating people easily, seriously.
That was recently.
Okay, but
I can't. I don't know.
You didn't start writing to him until he was in prison, though, right? Let me just stop the tape one more second. That was recently that he started killing and eating people. He had potential, and it's just that he had a bad couple of years. Back to the tape.
I sent it in the beginning of July.
In prison,
but
though, right?
He was already in prison, though.
Yeah. I actually waited for them to extradite him from Berlin.
Does he write back?
He hasn't yet, and I was told it's going to take a while because he's in, like, solitary and protected custody.
Oh, my God. Easy.
But
seriously.
I don't speak French either, so I can't understand half of what these Canadians are saying.
He speaks English, though.
Yeah, I know he does, but the guards at the jail don't.
Seriously. Take a step back.
And
reevaluate.
I do. I take a step back, and it just seems like a hobby for me.
A hobby?
Yeah, because there's a whole group of us. There's a couple fan clubs I'm in. There's
for him?
Fan clubs?
Why?
For the cannibal?
There's a bunch of people I know that blog about him. It's not
Look,
just me.
Look, are you into cannibalism?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. That's the
Are thing. You into animal torture?
Not at all.
Easily, seriously.
Sex with dead people?
He's a badass, though. Do you understand that?
What? Not a badass. No.
He's effed up, though. There's a difference between badass and effed up.
Yeah, there is something wrong in his head, but...
And in yours, my dear. And in yours. Listen.
Wow.
I'm not trying to offend, but seriously, you're effed up. But I'm glad you were listening, and I'm glad...
I know I am.
Thanks a lot, Easily. We appreciate the call.
Okay. Yeah, no problem.
Okay, bye.
What about that?
I didn't
what
know...
about that?
I didn't know we were going... It's all alleged, and... Kittens die all the time.
Yeah. I didn't know we were going to go to those depths.
I wasn't expecting that. How do you see this guy on the news and go, I need him to be my friend? How does that happen?
He has
right?
fan clubs, you guys. Yes.
So that happened. She's a member of a fan club of that dude.
Yep.
There's a whole group of them. He's badass.
That bitch is crazy.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 6.
Thomas Lennon is going to be joining us next hour along with his writing partner. What did we decide? It was Robert Berant. Garant is going to be joining us, talking about how you can write movies for fun and profit. Very excited to welcome those dudes to the studio. Coming up here right now, though, we got tickets for UFC on Fox number 4. That means it's going to be aired on the Fox Network. You can be there live at Staples Center on Saturday, August 4th at 1-800-520-1067. What's this game called?
If you want tickets to the UFC, you got to play this game. You get two for free.
Check it.
Abbreviation Nation.
Okay. All right, here's the concept of this one. Since UFC is itself a TLA, and of course that stands for three-letter acronym. Beerbug, you know what that stands for? You know what UFC stands for?
Ultimate Fighting Championship.
That's correct, yes, and that is exactly
Beerbug is already drunk, isn't he?
He sounds like it, yes. That is exactly how the game is played. We tell you the three-letter acronym. The TLA. And you tell us what it stands for, and then you go into the drawing, and you might win tickets for UFC on Fox 4. You ready to play?
Yep. Let's start with Chris. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi, Chris. Popular three-letter acronyms. I'll tell you the letters. You tell me what it stands for. You go into the drawing. Yours is OCD. What does OCD stand for?
Obsessive Compulsive Disorder.
Nicely done.
See
He's
how easy
an
that
EMT.
Is?
That's why he would know.
What's an EMT?
Well, it's just
sweet. Thank you, Chris.
He is an acronym.
Let's go to Juan. Hi, Juan.
How's it going?
Good.
Juan, yours is ATM. What does ATM stand for?
Automatic.
Come on, Juan.
Automatic teller machine.
Yes.
Yes.
Who helped you?
That's someone helped him.
Yep. See, because it's a teller machine instead of going to a bank teller inside. All right, thanks. You're in the drawing. Hang on.
Let's go to Denny. Hi, Denny.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
All right, Denny. You've been to the airport, right? TSA. TSA. What's that stand for? They're the ones who go through your stuff and fill up your junk.
Whoa,
say it again.
What?
I'm sorry?
Transit Security Administration.
Oh, so close. Transportation. Nice try, though. Thanks for playing.
Transportation Security Administration. I don't know that I would have gotten that one.
Really?
Tony, hi.
Yes, good morning, guys.
This one I would get.
Good luck, Tony.
Okay,
very popular
you.
Fast food restaurant, KFC. KFC.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Nice. Look at you. Well done. Nice. Which they don't call it anymore. They actually officially changed the name a few years
because they
thought fried chicken had too many diet consequences. So they just call it KFC and hope you don't know.
All right. Let's go to Jose. Hi, Jose.
Hey, good morning.
Got a lot of winners so far, Jose. Let's see if we can get you in the drawing. You probably watch Channel 4 a lot. What does NBC stand for? NBC.
NBC.
Network.
Nope.
No.
At least you didn't waste our time with the other two words.
It's the National Broadcasting Company. Thanks for playing, though.
Thanks for playing. Let's,
what do I got time for? A couple more?
Yeah, let's go to Nico. Hi, Nico.
What's going on?
All right, Nico. I'm not sure if you're a text messenger. Let's see how you do with this three-letter acronym. LOL.
Laugh out loud.
Close enough. We'll give it to you. It's laughing, but yeah, well done.
All right, let's go to Bijou.
Hey, good morning.
Hey,
good morning.
Bijou.
Is this the last one?
Sure.
Hello?
Bijou.
Yes.
Can you hear us?
To get into the drawing for UFC 4, yours is WWW.
World
what you put
Web.
At the front.
That's
yeah,
right.
World Wide Web is right. Wow, well nice. Done, you guys.
We were sitting here talking. Occasionally, we'll have a game that we think is super easy.
Yeah.
And no one gets it. And then that was pretty simple.
These were a little easier than they needed to be. I should have gone with DNA and some of those that are a little bit tougher. All right. Almost everybody's in the drawing except for the one dude. Who are our two winners, Lisa May?
Our two winners are, hang on.
Take your time. Nothing but time.
We got Chris and Nico.
Chris
Yay!
And Nico.
Congratulations. We will see you at UFC on Fox. And thanks for playing the game.
We are.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Congratulations to Miguel Cruz from North Hollywood. Just got those tickets to see the Black Keys and qualified for a trip for two to Lollapalooza.
Kevin had the best idea yesterday in the office. We were talking about the NBA trade and all the rumors swirling around Dwight Howard coming to the Lakers. And Kevin said what they need to do is put together a 24-team trade where he ends up back on the Magic. And I thought, that would be fun. I'd love to see that. But what the hell is going on? We had Matt Money Smith, our favorite sports guy from the Petros and Money nationally syndicated radio show. We had him on over a week ago, I think. And he said, oh, yeah, that's likely to happen today. I think it's going to happen today. Money.
Yeah.
Every single day has been... It's going to happen today.
It's
right.
brutal.
By
it's
the
brutal.
End of the, by the end of the day today, we will know Dwight Howard will be somewhere.
I'm going to pull like a PETA like stunt when Dwight finally arrives in L.A. You know, like they throw tar on people that have a fur jacket on. Or so. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I am so tired of this guy. I am tired of this crap. That day that we talked, you know, I figured it was going to happen that day because, you know, it looked like he was going to go to Brooklyn and that would be that. And that was the day it had to happen because of just the way free agency was mapped out and deadlines that were happening that day. And, of course, it didn't happen. And so here we are. One day you get there's a lot of guys that you trust and they're very good at what they do. And I believe they're getting information from either guys in the front office or agents or even the players themselves. So they report it. And then 30 minutes later, what they reported is crap. And that's what this story has been.
Here's the bottom line with Dwight Howard, correct me if I'm wrong, is that he's going to be a free agent, not now, this summer or off season, but next off season.
That's correct.
And he wants to test the trade waters. So nobody wants to give up everything that they would have to give up to get him if they're only guaranteed a year. And then he goes back on the open market, right?
This is what's infuriating about this particular deal is Dwight Howard did this last year. He did this last summer. He had a player option that only he could pick up, okay? So understand, the Magic could do nothing about this. It was Dwight Howard's choice to either be a free agent this summer, this past summer, unless he said, no, I'm going to come back and play with you guys for another year. And he did exactly that in March. So we went through all of this, all last season, just like we're doing right now, all last summer, just like we're doing right now, only to have this bastard pick up that option in March so we would do it all over again.
But isn't what's different this time around is he has already as much as said that if he goes to Los Angeles, if he's traded to the Lakers, he'll agree to sign a long-term extension ahead of time for the following year. We won't go through this again next year.
No, that's the problem, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. That's what the news was.
He's
yesterday
not
morning.
Guaranteeing that.
Yesterday he said he would be prepared to sign a long-term extension after the season if he gets traded to Los Angeles.
Just
seems like
minute.
That's what
I'm
we've
gonna,
been waiting for.
I'm going to go into the kitchen so I can grab an ice pick and just bury it in my right temple right now.
Okay, so that was the story yesterday morning.
Yes, yesterday evening after Petros and I get off the air. The news is, oh, no, his agent, Dan Fagan, says they're not sending an extension no matter
what. Oh, my
regardless,
God.
Regardless of where it goes. I hate this guy. I absolutely hate him. You know what? He should go play for freaking CSKA Moscow and turn into a damn communist.
How much do the Lakers, for people who are casual basketball fans, how much do the Lakers want Dwight Howard?
Desperately. He is one of, I mean, you can make your argument. He's the second best player in the NBA. I mean, there's LeBron James. He's the best player in the NBA. You can make the case for Kevin Durant. So, okay, fine. At worst, Dwight Howard is the third best player in the NBA. That's why we deal with this. Right. And that's why Mitch Kupchak, the general manager of the Lakers, is putting up with this crap.
Now, it's also possible to ruin your image quite a bit by the way you change teams, LeBron James being the biggest example of that.
Yeah, he's making LeBron James look like the gold standard of how you should do it. I mean, that's how bad Dwight Howard has been through this. You know, and someone, I can't remember who we were talking to, and I think it was Sam Amick, who's a great writer for Sports Illustrated. He put it best. He said, look, here's the problem with Dwight. He wanted all the power, you know. Actually, it was Steve Kerr, my apologies. He says, look, Dwight wanted all the power, right? Okay, so the Magic gave it to him. Okay, what do you want to do? Who do you want us to trade for? What guys do you want to surround yourself with? Oh, you want us to fire your coach? No problem. And once he got the power, he's too stupid to know what to do with it. And he didn't realize what he wanted anymore, so he really screwed the situation up. And okay. And that's what this league has turned into, you know. And that's one of the things I credit the Lakers for doing is, you know, you had Kobe throw that fit back in 2007, and, you know, Mitch, who's one of the best GMs in the NBA, just kind of pulled out that contract and said, yeah, you know, Kobe, I'm looking at it here. It says you're signed with us until 2010. So how about you just shut up, go back to Newport Beach, and we'll see you in September when training camp opens. Okay, good talk. See you later. And not enough GMs are willing to do that, you know.
Can Dwight Howard get so much more money by waiting until next summer to test the free agency waters than he can if we get him now or if somebody gets him?
No, that's...
So what's the point?
See, that's where the Andrew Bynum situation now works into this.
Because he's a free agent next year.
Well, remember when, look, I know I'm starting to get a little bit old and I'm not young and spry like I was when I first started working for you guys, but remember the good old days when we would talk about sports and there would be like, hey, how about that Dodgers game when Matt Kemp hit the walk-off home run?
Yep.
No, nobody talks about that anymore with sports. Now it's all, okay, now let me get this straight. With the new collective bargaining agreement,
yeah,
if we trade for Dwight Howard, Andrew Bynum's got to sign a 3-year extension, but if he waits a year, it'll be a 5-year extension. That's all, I mean, that is what sports has become, is negotiation.
I mean, it's what everything's become. Monday, all people are going to be talking about is the box office of the Batman movie, not whether it was any good or not.
Exactly.
I mean, we've become obsessed with contracts and money. It's weird.
Mergers and acquisitions. That's what we talk about now.
All right, money. Let me ask you another question.
Yes.
Is Dwight Howard good enough that if he eventually becomes a Laker, you'll be able to put all of this frustration behind you, or will he have tarnished his image enough that you still are a little tired of him?
No, that team, if it when they get Dwight Howard,
you say when?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable that they get him. I really do.
It's inevitable that the Lakers will get him.
I don't know where else he can possibly go. If he's not willing to sign an extension, I cannot imagine any team being willing to trade for him unless he just stays with the Magic. I mean, I think those are your two options. He just stays in Orlando and plays this out, and everybody wants him to, I don't know, get get piles and chiggers and shingles and all those terrible things all season long.
What's the drop dead date on this, if there is one, Money?
Oh, not until February. Isn't that great?
All right.
Oh,
great?
Wow.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
But it's going to be done today.
The Lakers.
Is what I hear.
Should they acquire? Yeah, exactly. Thanks. Should the Lakers acquire him, they'll be the best team in the NBA. They will, just on paper. I mean, you know, health notwithstanding.
Yeah, barring injuries and everything else.
Exactly. Right. I mean, you're talking about the best two guard in Kobe, the most skilled power forward in Pau Gasol, the best big man in Dwight Howard, a top 3-point guard. I mean, the best shooter in the NBA in Steve Nash, yep. Arguably the best ball. I mean, it'd be a remarkable team.
So it's Miami versus LA next year for the finals. That's essentially what you're predicting.
Exactly.
If
Dwight Howard.
Exactly.
Now,
yeah.
If he doesn't come, and I'm in the minority on this, I still think the Lakers can be very good without him. I mean, very, very good without him. Not nearly as good as with him because he's so good defensively.
Right.
Because Andrew's just kind of kooky. Andrew right. Bynum, their current center. And
he is,
you know.
but he's a big question mark. If he steps forward and starts really playing and gets some maturity and plays defense and all that kind of stuff, is not so kooky, they could be great.
Yeah, this is going to be his seventh year in the league, Kevin.
All right.
Usually those things
get over that
have been sorted out by the time you've been in the league for seven
That's like
years.
Saying at some point, Kevin and me are going to get funny. I mean, you just got to give up and just accept that this is the show you get. All right,
yeah.
The Petrus and Money radio show is way better than ours. It airs weekday afternoons at AM 570 at either 3 or 4 to 7, depending on how ambitious the guys are feeling that day. You can follow them on Twitter at Petrus and Money and PetrusandMoney.com. Thanks, Matt. Have a great weekend, man.
All right, guys. Take care.
Kevin Abean, token blacklister, Annell Rivers, ladies and gentlemen, joins us in the studio here at the world-famous K-Rock. In for Ralph Garman and the showbiz beat. Annell, how you been, man? We haven't seen you in a while.
I'm doing bad, y'all.
What's happening?
Man, I had no BET, man, in like 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah, BET, MTV.
Y'all got some BET, man? Mugs, you got some BET?
Yeah, I got some. Yeah. Got
you should have had some stuff TiVo'd, man, to get you through the...
Man.
But there was no advance warning. You just woke up one day and it was gone.
Right? I remember when BET hit in the 80s. It was crazy, man. People were stealing VCRs to BET and bars on windows. And then it's just BET was gone. I have not gone a day without BET since, I think, 1986 or 7.
Is that right?
Really? I'm
like
serious.
Is that the black man CNN? That's the channel that you always have on the background in case something breaks.
It's the black man.
If R. Kelly gets arrested, you wouldn't know about it first.
It's the black man Sesame Street. It's the black man's CNN. It's everything. My son was raised on BET.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? He don't know nothing about a day without Martin. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So.
But the good news is, as of this morning, BET is back in the Rivers household.
Yes. I unfortunately am here, so I still need to go home and get my fix. I was going to go ahead, man.
You can turn it on the office.
Yeah. Can I?
Oh, sure.
I didn't even think you could get BET. I thought it was like blocked
in
here.
Not. You're right.
Parental controls. It was not. Good times, man. Well, yes, BET, Viacom has said their beef with DirecTV. So all of you that miss your BET, all of you that miss your MTV.
Comedy Central.
Comedy Central. My kids are going, my son is just, I mean, he's holding a pillow, calling it Patrick. He hasn't seen SpongeBob in a week. He's doing
That's
bad,
sad.
Man. Right. So, yeah, glad to announce. Go home, watch BET, everybody. There it is.
All right, and that was here to do showbiz. He doesn't like that sound effect. He likes it when Bean says,
"Girl, holla."
So that's what we do between every story.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So I got some stories coming up here.
All right.
First story I got here. You know your boy. Fred Willard, or as I like to call him, Fred Willie. Well, I just saw you right here on TMZ that apparently Fred was not exactly breaking any laws when he decided to go masturbate in a Triple X theater.
Really? Okay.
What do you mean?
Well,
I thought he was denying doing it.
Well, here's the thing. He did it. Because,
right, but I thought he was denying it.
Well, what else did he go there for? To get some popcorn?
Look,
it's a big misunderstanding.
Okay,
now.
First of all, who are these people still going to Triple X theaters?
I don't know.
These are the same people without call waiting. Like, I swear to God,
I don't know.
Like, I hate you people. Like get a VCR.
No voicemail.
I will sell you a DVD or VCR and a box of porn right now for like $5 just to get out of my garage before my son discovers it's there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Knows.
So, yeah, right. So basically, apparently there's a law here that states in California, okay, it is not illegal to masturbate in a public place like a movie theater.
What? It's,
yeah. That's good to know, right?
It changes everything.
Yeah. What? I can't wait to see Black Knight.
How are we just learning this? Next time you guys get Harvey Levin on the phone, you need to seriously have a conversation with him. How has this not been that's the first thing he should say when he meets people.
No kidding.
I'm Harvey Levin. By the way, you can masturbate in public. Just don't offend anybody.
I can't wait for my dark night to rise.
You have a dark night.
Mess that up.
Tell me more about this.
Well, apparently, here's the situation.
Why did they arrest him?
Well, he arrested him because he had his penis out in public, which is frowned upon. But apparently, it's only illegal to masturbate in public if the act occurs with an eye shot, ding, of people who might be offended.
Okay. So if no one in the theater was offended.
So if no one's offended. So,
then,
yeah.
Then he's all right.
Then he's all right. So as long as you sit in the front row, technically you shouldn't offend anybody. I mean, I don't know, man. I got nothing against Fred Willard. I think he's a hilarious, hilarious actor and comedian. I guess my only problem with the situation is you're a millionaire, bro. Like, get a smartphone. You feel what I'm saying?
Something.
Yeah. I have so much porn in my pocket right now. You have no idea. I mean, freaky stuff, man. You know what I'm saying?
USA. USA. USA! USA!
When you're 78 years old, like Mr. Willard is, do you think you'll still be so horny that you have to pull into a drive-in theater or a movie theater and get some of yourself?
No,
or can you wait till you get home? I mean, that's insane.
When I'm 78, my spank bank should be just pouring out at the seams. Like, seriously, when you're 78 years old, you should have seen enough
to keep you going.
Yeah, and Fred Willard was an actor like in the 70s and the 80s, you know what I'm saying? Like,
he's an older actor.
Yeah, like pre-AIDS, like the good time to have sex, you know what I'm saying? Like, you get, you know, anybody gets a VD, you know, you get a shot of that. But but anyway, Fred Willard, man, keep it in your pants, bro. And if you need, like I said, I got a VCR, box old black porn
there
for
you
whenever you need.
Girl, holla.
Next up, man, check this out. The Dark Knight. Have you guys heard about the situation I was referring to a different situation with the box office here. I'm gonna stay away from that right now.
Okay.
Just because, like, that's not really my forte. I'm here to bring the laughs. It's not the sadness. But apparently, The Dark Knight, it's 90% of the sales on Fandango right now and movietickets.com are for The Dark Knight Rises.
90%.
Okay. It is projected right now to make between $170 and $214 million on opening weekend. That's big money
there.
Wow, man.
I bought my tickets for Sunday because I can't go till Sunday, and the theater was just about sold out.
Yeah, yeah. I you know what? I'm going to wait. I like to go to the movies like Monday at 11 a.m. I'm one of those dudes. Like, you know?
Yeah, unemployed.
Yeah, there you go. I got a lot of free time on my hands, man. You know what I'm saying?
But why the night got to be dark in hell? That's my question.
Well, you know, there you go. I mean, it's not called the Black Knight. You know what I'm saying? That would have been worse, I suppose. But dark doesn't offend us, man. I mean, we're not that sensitive.
I think the only thing, I mean, the anticipation for this movie is incredible, obviously, because the first two were so great. Lisa May's reviews accepted. But the only thing that's going to hold this back is it's 2.5 hours long. And that just automatically is going to cut down on screenings. I mean, something like The Avengers comes in a lot tighter. You can play it more times per day.
But they can put it on more theater screens.
And they have.
Like the Arclight where I go, they have screenings every half hour.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So they have to put in a lot of different screens for that to happen.
Yeah, like I said, I 2.5 hours.
Fine with me.
I smoke a lot of weed, man. You know, I trick off 2.5 hours frequently.
Smoke enough weed, 2.5 hours is like 5 minutes.
Yeah, 2.5 hours is like nothing for me, man. You know what I'm saying? Next up, hey man, I got real, real good news for any of you ladies out there that like gangster rappers with tattoos on their neck. Check this out.
Yeah.
Rapper The Game. Okay, has broken off his engagement. He was, I don't know if you guys are familiar with this story. Okay?
I thought he had some kind of a reality TV show that was going to follow him through the wedding.
Exactly. Apparently, The Game, you know, him and his girl Tiffany, he actually was so pumped up about this whole marriage thing, he brought a camera crew and everything to the school where she works to film their engagement.
Right.
Like, to, you know, the reality show pilot type deal. So, based upon that, they got a, you know, reality show based upon the nuptials, you know, the wedding and whatnot.
Right.
Well, apparently, Game decided that he no longer wants to be married. And he broke the announcement via the internet, like the classiest way you could possibly do something.
Sweet.
Like that, apparently.
He broke it to her?
You know, that is unclear. I'm going to presume probably not. But if he did, he gets mad gangster points because that's just
that's
thug.
That's not the way
that's just thug
it.
Right
Come
there,
on,
though.
Now.
You know what I'm saying? Get a tweet. Baby, it's off. But apparently, he was went ahead and posted a little message here on his website that says, the wedding is off. It's true. It's not her fault. It's mine. She's a great woman. I just wasn't man enough to see it through. Okay, let me go ahead and drop that one into the BS translator here.
Okay, what does that mean?
Carry the one. Okay. Translation. I'm a rap star. I have $1 million. I like having sex with groupies.
That's my
actual translation. I don't
good enough.
Yeah, you know, back in the the early 2000s and when I caught a little thing called marriage, and it's terrible.
It didn't work out for you.
It's very hard to get rid of.
You got rid of that.
Well, yeah, I had to get some shots.
Took a while.
See some doctors. You know what I'm saying? I'm going through chemotherapy here, but wedding is very hard to get rid of. And Game, man, I'm gonna tell you right now, if I was you, I would go ahead and keep doing what you're doing, brother, because you know ain't nothing like being a single player out here in these streets.
All right, we got to get to the first. Unfortunately, we got to get
to celebrity birthdays. Here we got. We got guitarist Carlos Santana. He's 65. I got to stay like the news reporter on TV. Sure. You know what I'm saying? Carlos Santana. He's 65. Singer Chris Cornell of Audioslave and Soundgarden is 48. Stone Gossard is 46. Josh Holloway is 43. Sandra Oh is 41. Omar
Sandra
Epps.
No, by the
Sandra
way.
Sandra No. Oh, you don't like Sandra Oh?
I like her.
I like her, too. She's a little... yeah.
But, it's all about angles.
Yeah. Actor Omar Epps is 39?
Yep.
Black don't crack,
no,
man.
No, he's looking
like,
good.
Yeah, you look like 11 teen. And I see Simon Rex, 38. Judy Greer is 37. And supermodel Gisele Bündchen is 32. That's what I'm talking about right there. Yo, follow your boy at Anel Rivers on Twitter. That's your man with the show Biz Busy.
Come on, I'm the only one.
That's good. That was good. The song needed that. You're right about that. That was a good choice.
Yeah.
Can I not hear you for some reason?
No, you can hear us.
Talk to me. Okay, good. 106.7 sure. K-Rock is KROQ. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I rarely say this, but the next half hour of the Kevin and Bean Show could change your life. Thomas Lennon, Robert Ben-Gurant, join us in studio. Am I saying that right, Robert? Is it Gurant?
That's
is that correct?
Close. It's pretty close.
Thank you.
See, now I'm telling you.
You can't hear him. No.
That was actually the sexier version of Ben's name.
Grab
the Ben's mic's not working?
No,
grab
the yellow one.
We got about this one? We have so many mics in here. We can
there
do
you
that.
Go.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Have a new book out called Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, How We Made $1 billion at the Box Office, and you can too, and they're going to tell us how they did it and how you can do it. Of course, the easy answer is just buy the goddamn book.
Ben that's Stiller really keeps a lot of that 1.4 billion.
Ben Stiller
billion.
Gets most of the billion, it turns out.
Oh, okay, how much of the 1.4 billion do you guys have?
Very small percentage
you
of
get,
the billion.
You get, it's written in the book. It's like, what is it?
I didn't get to that part.
It's a lot of money.
It's still pretty good. Any percentage of a billion is okay.
Yeah, yeah. I was about to try to make it sound kind of sad.
No,
like a boo-hoo.
Any percentage of a billion
is
all right.
Most people in the world don't have access to clean water. I'm going to shut up.
You're okay. Yeah.
All right. I made the confession first thing this morning when we were discussing that you guys were going to be on that I felt ignorant about this, but I had no idea that you guys as a screenwriting duo had been this successful. I mean, you know, I know you guys from Reno 911, obviously, and I knew that you'd been involved in other things. I've seen you and read about you and other things. But I didn't know you had this thing on the side where you were writing these movies where you're cranking them out and making millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Most,
I was shocked.
Most people don't know it. It's a weird double life that we have.
Yeah.
You're like secret writers.
Exactly. We've gone to meetings, movie meetings with people, and we have the Reno 911 mustaches.
Right.
And they look at us. And they just think we're like Hollywood party guys. Yeah. You know.
They're like, hey, yeah, you guys are doing mustaches
now.
Mustaches. Right. Nice. As if we showed up on roller skates, it'd be the same thing. It'd be like, all right, that's what people are doing now.
It's
like,
right on.
No, but
yeah,
so
they don't know.
A lot of people don't know. Well, it actually was very weird. There was a very sort of logical path from it, which is we used to do that sketch show called The State
right.
on MTV. Mm-hmm. And in The State, we just used to fight each other all the time. We would throw chairs at each other and like we
the
were
very
pretty
nerdy
intense.
Leonard Skinner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a nerdy Leonard Skinner with only chubby white guys. Well, Leonard Skinner's only chubby white guys.
They're only chubby white guys, too. No beards. Leonard Skinner with no beard.
More teeth. Yes. But then we, you know, and it got us, like, in this mode of, like, having your material get attacked all the time by other people.
Cranking
and
out
to defend
material.
Yourself. And having to write, like, all day, all night, just to get one thing through the filter of these 10 other jerks who
comedians
are trying to
hate you.
Take you down. And it turns out that was accidentally like perfect practice for the movie studio system.
Being treated like garbage yeah. for 10 years by our friends prepared yeah. us for Hollywood.
So
to be treated
is
like
that
garbage.
How it, so everyone needs to get like 10 angry friends?
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
For
yes.
10 to years?
Have
and
them
then
mm-hmm, sit around in a circle. They all blow cigarette smoke at you.
Okay. Yeah.
And they tell you okay. And they tell you how everything you just thought of has been done before better by Monty Python.
Yeah. Show business.
And then you're
the
ready.
Way,
it's
show
true.
Business.
It's true. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. It has been done better by those guys. Yeah.
That's true.
The guys have written, of course, the Night at the Museum movies. That's got to be responsible for a big chunk of the billion.
That's a lot
also,
of it, yeah.
Balls of Fury, The Pacifier. Mm-hmm. You got a long list
Being,
of films.
If you're saying there's some real turd balls in there, the answer is yes.
We agree to
I'm
agree,
saying,
sir.
No, but I'm saying you admit as much in the book. I'm saying the point is moneymakers is what you write. You guys write moneymakers, and this is what's fascinating is the book is not about how to write a screenplay as much as it is how to navigate if you have written a screenplay, like what
right.
to do next, like how to understand how Hollywood works and meetings work and those and the math works.
Right.
And that's the book that I haven't seen before.
There are plenty of books out there on how to crack your great story, which I would argue no book can teach you how to crack your great
crazy.
Story. You got to figure that out yourself. But this is the business. This
Hang
is
on,
what
me
it means
crack
to how
great
you.
Story.
By the way, do a little crack. You're going to come up with some pretty good stories.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
That's Charlie Sheen.
That's
start,
a good
boom.
Let me ask you this question, and that is, when you're trying to break into any aspect of the entertainment business, whether you want to be
the next American Idol, or you want to be an actor, or you want to write screenplays. Rejection. How to handle rejection. There are people who have been plugging away, knocking on doors for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Is there a point at which you should give up and find a new dream?
Never give up.
Stick
never.
With it?
Never give up. Because here's the thing. Now, Ben and I have had, as of this year, I think we just made our 10th movie, either 9th or 10th film that got made.
Okay.
That means we've written together probably 35-40 films at least.
Really?
Yeah. And a lot of people ask, I think, and this is one of the bigger secrets of the book, I think most people have about the same amount of very funny, very scary, very interesting material in them.
Yes.
But we're writing
all the time.
10 times more than you.
Yeah.
So we're, like, we both have, probably all of us have the same amount of good material, but our pool to pull from is so big that eventually you can get some of it through. And you have to be like that.
Rejection doesn't hurt as bad if you have 10 other things you're working on at the same time.
Does it still happen to you when you write a movie that you think is good and then nobody will?
Oh, God. All the time.
Really? Even with your success.
It's mostly disappointment.
Yeah.
Even the ones that go well, then go to the comments section.
Oh, my God. Be angry, angry nerds.
Look at the comments section about yourself.
Connections. I've written
seven. You guys make it sound glamorous.
It's wonderful. Oh, it's not glamorous, but the money's good.
Again, the whole point is it's awful. The money's really good.
Okay. All right.
That should have been the other title.
Writing Movies for Fun and Profit. It is available in bookstores or online everywhere. You can meet the guys, by the way. They are going to be speaking on this topic and, am I right, signing autographs at the Romans Bookstore. That's tomorrow afternoon at 4. That's the world-famous Romans Bookstore on East Colorado Boulevard in Pasadena. So that's at 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Yep.
You can meet Thomas and Ben. They are guests in studio. We've got many more questions. We return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Writing Movies for Fun and Profit, How We Made $1 Billion at the Box Office, and You Can Too, a hilarious and useful new book from a couple of guys in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now, Thomas Lennon, and I'll just say Robert Ben Garant this time just to mix it up.
That's much less fancy. That's good.
You can meet these guys at the Romans in Pasadena at 4 o'clock tomorrow. They'll be speaking on the topic and getting books signed. Let me ask you a big picture question that I'm sure you get asked all the time. The average Joe on the street, me, for instance, average moviegoer USA, gets the impression that most of the movies that are made are terrible and that the studios know that they're going to be terrible, but they make them anyway, and it's almost impossible to get anything interesting or fresh or new on the screen.
Okay,
is that,
Bean,
is that accurate?
What was your question?
What's your question?
Yeah, that's exactly accurate. Is that how it works?
That was a statement.
So why?
No, that's true. Yeah, agreed.
That's very true.
Correct.
Why?
I would say.
Why?
Ding, ding, ding. Correct.
Why?
Correct. We have a big chapter on this in the book, and they usually don't know that they're going to be terrible until about 2 weeks before they start shooting.
Yeah. And the problem is...
And then it's too late to pull the plug?
And then it's too late.
Here's generally the answer, which is if you want to do something and mess it up really badly, do it with a committee.
Yes.
Get a bunch of people. First off, throw a ton of money at it.
Yes. Okay, good.
Throw as much money as you can at it.
A lot of money.
Have then, 50 very rich people with their own agendas and opinions.
Yeah.
Put them into a committee.
Yeah. And then this committee, so you've got producers, you've got, you know, development people at the studio, you've got somebody who optioned the book 10 years ago,
right,
who won't give up the rights. You've got
crazy movie stars, crazy directors.
The short version is committees and development is the reason. And in our book, it's the chapter is called Why Do Most Studio Movies Suck Donkey Balls?
And is that, that's a good
is the actual
and the answer is
and the answer is basically development.
Because of the system just guts the hell out of it.
It's, you know, and it's crazy because like we have been brought in to rewrite movies. They're like, look, we start shooting in 2 weeks.
And they say, here's a
and
movie.
They, and they say this that we love
we
the
love
idea
the premise.
Of this movie.
We
it's
hate
great.
Every word, every scene, everything that happens.
Wait, and they're starting to shoot in 2 weeks?
Yes. They already have all the locations. So they say, can you write? Okay, we've got to be in a gymnasium.
They've already rented. They've already built sets. They've already paid the actors.
Right.
They've got to go. And they love the idea of a chipmunk that runs a basketball team.
Yeah.
They just hate the script.
They just hate the script.
You know.
This
you know,
is what happens regularly? This is
the norm.
Exception.
By the
way,
we're talking about big studio movies. Our book, people are like, you can write beautiful art movies.
That's true.
We don't do that. We don't know anything about it.
Exotic Marigold Hotel was great.
I love that
movie. There's no way that a giant committee at a major studio would approve a movie with Tom Wilkinson playing stickball with a bunch of Indian kids.
And it's great.
And it's amazing.
It does seem like you guys are absolutely right about this, I think, because the fewer creative people involved, if they're the right people, makes the purest and the best. I mean, look, the best stuff that's coming out right now, look at what's in the theaters right now.
Wes Anderson. There's a guy who's in his own universe doing whatever he wants.
Nobody
and his
tells
movies
him
are
what
always
to do.
Great.
He is not.
Your friend Christopher Nolan.
Yep.
They just hand it to him and say, you're the expert. You
he
do
doesn't
it.
Go
Paul
ask,
Thomas Anderson. Yep. Same thing. Those are the movies that we get excited about you that guys. We look forward to seeing, not the ones with 40 people
right now. We rewrote Rebound, that Martin Lawrence movie.
Yeah.
He like beats up a chicken.
That's the other thing about there's the movies we write, then there's the movies we rewrite. That's like the secret, the real secret.
And you just do that for the cash, right?
That's all.
No, we do that for the love of Martin Lawrence. Come on.
How many movies do you rewrite?
A lot.
And are they savable?
Usually if you can add, like, if you can make one or two things better. The great thing about that is
you're sort of adding a clown nose to a cancer patient.
Yeah. I think I saw that.
Hey, there you go. That should be the name of the book. Did you write that Robin Williams movie, too? Was that you?
No, that was before our time. But,
oh, we wish.
Yeah.
We're trying to pitch a sequel right now.
I can't even remember which one it was. But there was a movie that we rewrote, and they said, hey, we're going to give you guys credit on this movie.
Like, no.
Guys, we're okay.
It's okay. Don't let anyone know we had
anything. No, we're all right.
Even at your level, and you guys are known certainly in Hollywood circles as being successful screenwriters, do you still just slap yourselves when you walk out of some of these Hollywood meetings where the guys are just so clueless, you can't believe how much of a waste of time you just...
My favorite quote, and I think was it Zach Penn, who's a great writer and a friend of ours, told us this. He said he had turned in a script to a movie studio.
Yes, this
and
is
then
true.
He called one of the mid-level executives on Monday to say, hey, what do you guys think? I know. And the executive said, I don't know what I think. I'm the only one who's read it.
Is that true? Or is that
absolutely true?
Or is that like
I don't
just,
know what I think.
That sounds
I'm
like
the
a story
only
to
one
prove
who's
a
read
point.
It.
That was him accidentally telling the truth.
Yes,
that was
him accidentally.
Truth,
which was like,
yeah.
Wow.
My boss will tell me later what I think.
Which is insane.
I think when you're inside, though, when I walk out of a movie and the movie was good, it's like a miracle. Yeah. Like, I'm shocked. Like, The Avengers, I love The Avengers.
The Avengers was awesome.
And
I have no idea how that happened.
Like, how? It's a miracle from God. Like, that movie has all these movie stars and it cost all this money, and yet...
It's
it
great.
Was still very entertaining.
Yeah.
Like, that's shocking.
That rarely happens.
It very rarely happens.
So much
sticking
money.
The landing is, well, you know, it's just hard. There's a lot of people in
there's
the middle.
A lot of people. You know,
there's so many moving parts.
There's a lot of moving
together,
parts.
Yeah.
It's destined to break your heart.
In your book, you say probably the reason for this is that there are a lot of people who have jobs that they don't want to get fired from.
That's
like,
the main
that's
motivation
the
in Hollywood.
That's the overriding thing. It's just, I don't want to get fired. I don't want to go out on a limb because then I'm the one that might get cut.
And part of not being fired is, so your movie star, you get a big movie star to do the movie that you're that's already greenlit. That movie star has his own team of writers. Almost all of them do.
Really?
And then they come in and they do a pass of the script. And
so they take your script and then they change it for that actor.
Of course. And the agenda of that team of writers is not the movie at all. It's the actor.
It's the movie star.
So if this movie star wants to be a heavyweight boxer, even though the movie's set in space, like they come in and they put in a through line about this heavyweight boxer training. They don't care about the big picture.
Wow.
They care about the star.
When I hear you tell these stories, I can't help but ask myself, how was Herbie Fully Loaded still so good with all this?
It's a miracle. It's like the Avengers.
You know,
it was a miracle.
It was a miracle. That was a really wonderful time in our lives. Lindsay had just blossomed.
I hope you got it before she was diseased.
We saw the rough cut before they toned down the jiggle.
Yes.
Really?
They darkened the jiggle.
And one day the truth will be told.
Yes.
That's not right.
She climbs into the car once and there's a panty flash, which they took out in post.
Why would they?
And it's like, Jiminy Crickets.
We both jumped in our seats. We almost Fred Willard did.
right there on the spot.
We almost Fred Willard did.
Not sure that's a verb yet. Writing to Beast for fun and profit. How we made $1 billion at the box office. And you can too. Thomas Lennon and Ben Garrett in studio. I have to ask you this before we let you go, and that is, there are a lot of people, particularly in this town, who think they have the idea and they can write a script and they want to make it.
How as a novice,
a guy with no connections, how do you even get started? Most people won't read unsolicited material.
That's true. But the gateway is actually easier than it's ever been.
Yes.
No one will read scripts. No, people don't read scripts, as we point out in the book.
Wait. The gateway is more open than it's ever been, and no one will read scripts.
No one will read scripts.
People don't read
scripts that they pay for.
How do those two things? The internet,
like through Funny or Die,
College Humor, there's a million. YouTube,
put up. Every agency and every movie studio has an entire wing of little interns in the basement whose job is to look for funny stuff on the internet.
Just look for creativity.
And they bring in people all the time. We have tons of friends.
We've been pitched. People have pitched us. Yes. They've bought the rights to, you know, the guy with the talking German Shepherd online?
Yeah. I want something for print.
Movie of that.
They've optioned that for a movie.
Yes. Oh, no. Yeah. Yes. So, like,
the talking babies.
By the way, and that's a brilliant little movie that guy made.
It's great.
I mean, it's really clever. And he got worldwide attention from it. Be clever. There's something online. It doesn't need to be funny. It could be. You could make a short horror film. You could make
little funny sketch.
Anything that's really well done and shows that you've got talent.
How long? 30 seconds.
Keep it short.
Doesn't matter.
People are watching it at work, so keep it short.
As long as it's good.
Yeah, as long as it's good. But people bring in and then have scripts ready for when you have that meeting.
Yeah.
Have a bunch of scripts, and probably no one will ever make any of the scripts that you wrote for spec. They're going to make you write the movie where Martin Lawrence is transformed into a chipmunk.
Oh, so they'll turn down all your ideas, but then they'll give you another one.
And keep in mind, they already own every book that's ever written.
Every book.
Like, literally, the studios own. I mean, they option everything.
Yeah.
So they've got to get the stuff off their books. They've, like, if you come in with your script and your script is even kind of good,
mm-hmm.
or your short is pretty good,
mm-hmm.
they will want you to take a crack at one of the 200 things that they own that they can't figure out what to do
kidding.
With.
No kidding.
Interesting.
Oh, yeah. Yes. But the internet, the door is open. It's not impossible to get through to the decision makers now because the internet is a wide open
door.
Hey, look,
that's why we have South Park 15 seasons later.
Absolutely.
Because a funny video got on the internet.
Spirit of Christmas.
Exactly what you're talking about.
4 minute short.
No joke, guys. You guys are very, very funny. I'm so glad you came in. But this book is necessary. This book has not been written before, How to Navigate Hollywood as a Screenwriter, right? I mean, it really sounds
like
you've really
cracked
it.
No one who knows anything about it has written one. We looked at all the screenwriting books, and combined between all the other ones, between Story by Robert McKee, Save the Cat, all of them, they combined to have half of one credit on one movie.
Yes.
All of the authors.
And I believe it's Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
It is.
You're talking about the experts. Give those?
Really?
Because if you are a screenwriter, why would you write a book? Come on.
Which we found out.
Right.
Books.
Mm.
There's no money in books.
I should point out.
Say the guys who just wrote a book.
I should point out, the title of our book is super obnoxious. The cover is super obnoxious with the hot naked girls and the bling and stuff. Look it up if you haven't, by the way.
Yeah.
We actually
write movies for fun and profit, How We Made $1 Billion at the Box Office, and you can too. By the way, I have the $1 billion idea. I just need to wait 2 years to reboot the Batman franchise. I figure they'll be due by about then.
There'll be some new kid. Yeah.
And you can meet the authors of this book. They'll be talking about their writing movies for fun and profit book and also signing copies at Roman's Bookstore, East Colorado Boulevard, Pasadena. That's going to be tomorrow at 4. Will you be wearing the short shorts, and do a lot of people who show up to meet you wear the short shorts?
A, yes. B, they're always on underneath in case of an emergency.
and all of the profits for the book, all of the profits go to the USO.
That's not a joke.
Is that true?
It seems like we're jerks, and we're kind of jerks, but all the money from the book goes to the USO. So.
Yeah. How about that?
Fantastic. Right. Thank you, gentlemen. We enjoyed it.
With hearts.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So excited. Mrs. Walter White, Skyler herself, Anna Gunn, the actress from Breaking Bad, is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes here on The Kevin and Bean Show. We got to figure out a way to get all these episodes to air in a row, right? There can't be any of this play 8 and take 6 months off, right?
That's the schedule right now.
Show's too good.
Play
Breaking
8,
Bad.
Take 6 months off.
Talking about coming up. Mr. Movie Phone Next Hour reviews the new Batman film. Right now, our friend Dax Holt from TMZ.com. Hey, Dax, are we pulling you out of the meeting? Do you have to whisper? Are you okay for a minute?
I had to step away from the meeting and go to a quieter area of the room.
Well, thank you. Well, we appreciate it. You know, we usually catch up with you guys in the TMZ newsroom on Monday, but because of the Fred Willard thing yesterday, we had so many questions. And since we put in the request for you, you guys actually talked to Fred Willard. And I got to give you all the credit in the world for tracking him down yesterday, because he must have been doing everything to stay out of the public eye yesterday.
That's what you would think, right? Like, someone that just got arrested for a lewd act in a adult theater would be like, oh, I'm going to hide under a rock for a little bit.
I think he'd be in South America by now.
But we got Fred yesterday. He was going into his lawyer's office with his wife and just said, what exactly happened with the whole adult theater? And he's like, look, it was a big misunderstanding. It didn't happen. He goes, it was a strange situation that led up to him being in the theater, and it'll all be straightened out soon enough.
What can that possibly mean?
That means
a strange situation that led him to end up in the theater. What, with his pants off?
I have no idea. I'm like, when I think of the story, I'm like, I feel bad for him.
I do, too.
I mean, this guy is one of the funniest people out there. He's been in great movies, and now people are going to remember him as the old man in theater with his penis out.
Now, did he say that he didn't do it?
He is saying he did not do it.
Okay.
Obviously, it is all alleged at the moment. The cops had said, yep, they do these, like, walkthroughs of the adult theaters. It's posted on the theaters. It'll say, at any moment, the LAPD could walk through.
so it's very well known. I think they did.
What a crappy job that is. Low man on the totem pole.
Yeah. This is rookie hazing is what this right. is for the new Academy members.
What do you expect in an adult theater?
Right. What is it they're looking for? Is that the only reason they go in, is to see if people are masturbating? That's what they're doing? Yeah. What's the downside?
I'm thinking it's a lewd act if you're not playing with yourself in the theater. I mean, come on.
You should get arrested for non-action.
I don't understand in this era of not enough police and too much crime, I don't know how they can let one guy for 10 minutes a week do that job instead of whatever's going on out in front of the Tiki right? Club. Seriously.
Come on. There's so much bigger things going on than people in a theater. But we think we have a loophole for them. Okay?
Okay. All right.
In California, it's not automatically illegal to masturbate in a public theater.
That's the best news ever.
But here's the thing.
I can't wait.
What?
It's only illegal if the act occurs within eyeshot of someone who might be offended. So I'm pretty sure the other four people in that theater would not have been offended by him.
I would think not.
Playing.
Yeah. What he was, first of all, was, I heard conflicting reports on whether he was taken out in handcuffs. Do you know the answer to that, Dax?
If he was taken out in handcuffs?
Yeah. Arrested him.
You didn't, no, okay. I don't know.
Has he been charged?
Not officially. So it's just been, he's been arrested. Obviously, normally when a charge goes down, we'll report that right away. And we haven't put up anything on the site yet.
And what are the charges that he might be eligible for here?
Well, that
do you have any idea? Have you talked to anyone in the district? Is it lewd conduct? Is that
lewd
what it is?
Conduct? That's what
it is. And what does that carry if you're convicted of that?
I'm not sure. I think it's very minor, though. I don't think it's like a big deal. It's kind of like, you know, peeing in public, something like that. You might get a ticket. You might get a fine.
Being
might
even be a misdemeanor,
going to jail for a year or anything like that.
Being, remember when we got peeing in public?
Yeah, we got pulled over by the Orange County police for peeing in a bush outside a nightclub once. Dax.
No.
That's another situation of like, should you get a ticket? Because, you know,
yeah,
if no one's offended by it.
No is the answer. And the cop was cool. He's like, look, you can't do that.
You can't do that, right?
Right.
Anyway, well, then get me a bathroom.
It made it worse that we were holding hands, but.
Were you shocked? Forget Fred Willard. Were you shocked that anybody was going to see a movie on a big screen at a theater when in the age of the internet?
I'm like, does he not have a Netflix subscription? Does he not have a computer at home? What is he doing at a theater? And have you guys seen this theater? Like, ever
I've
driven
seen
past
it? Yeah. Just the pictures.
Just the pictures on the outside of it. It looks seedy.
The creepiest little theater. It's right on Santa Monica, right when you get down towards the 101.
Yeah.
I've passed by it. I'm like, look down here. Who goes into these places?
Well, I think you need to, as an investigative reporter. You need to go in and you need to find out if somebody was offended.
Well, Fred was in very, I mean, I won't say good humor, but he certainly was a good sport when your reporter talked to him on the street yesterday coming out of his attorney's office. I wonder, and I'm sure you guys talked about this in your meeting, what's going to be his next move in terms of, you know, kind of getting it out there, talking about it, rehabbing the image? I mean, is it going to be a Tonight Show deal? What do you suppose he's going to do next?
I'm not sure, but I got to say, the best thing is to just get out there.
That's what I think.
Make fun of yourself.
Immediately.
Move past it and just go, look, people don't understand. I was in there researching for a role. Whatever he wants to
Especially
say.
When his next movie is The Yank, right? I mean, go ahead and just go with that. That's literally the film he's working on right now. Just say, yeah, it's The Yank. What do you want from me?
Yeah, I'd be like, what do you want? I'm watching a movie. I'm enjoying the movie. That's it.
Exactly. It's not like it's a drug thing, a DUI thing, a domestic abuse thing. I mean, look, people are going to forgive him about this as quickly as possible, right?
Yeah, and well, I think the more you ignore it, when you don't talk about it, then it starts getting worse for you.
Then it's a thing. Exactly. All right. Great stuff. You guys have been, once again, by the way, TMZ.com broke this story, leading the whole world on it. You can follow all the details at TMZ.com. Check out today's TMZ Live from the Newsroom show various times throughout the day on Fox, and then TMZ Live at 3 o'clock as well. Dax, thanks for stepping out of the meeting. Say hi to the guys and have a great weekend.
You. Thanks, guys.
Filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. It's us, Kevin Bean, 1 hour from right now. Token Blacklister Anell Rivers, a fan favorite. We'll have the Girl Holla edition of the Showbiz Beat as well. And Anna Gunn joins us from Breaking Bad, coming up right after the top of the hour. People are waking up this morning. Kevin turned on the radio, have not heard the tragic news out of Aurora, Colorado. People are emailing us and going, hey, what about the Batman shooting? Well, yeah, we're against
terrible.
The Batman shooting. But for folks who have not yet heard the details about this, a 24-year-old lone gunman by the name of James Holmes walked into the midnight screening into a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, the Century 16, I think it's called. He went in through the exit door and released some sort of gas canister there and then started shooting.
It's open fire.
As of now, 13 dead. 13 people shot dead at this movie theater. People were just going crazy, as you can imagine, just running and screaming. At first, people thought maybe it was part of the, you know, they thought, hey, this guy's in costume. This is part of the act. But then, you know, that didn't make sense, obviously, because the movie's already started. I mean, it was real pandemonium. There was an eyewitness who was interviewed. Her name is Jennifer. She was in the theater. She spoke with the Today Show this morning. Here's her firsthand account of what went down. And the shooter, by the way, is in custody right now.
Yeah, I was in the very second front row, and I was the first person on his side. He's about four or five feet away from me when he came through that side exit door right next to the screen. And, you know, I thought it was part of the show, to be honest. Like, I thought it was just a theme thing, you know, he got dressed up. But then when he threw that gas can, I thought it was just, you know, smoke or some special effect or something. You know, nobody really saw anything of it. Then he went ahead and shot his gun in the air towards the ceiling, and everybody freaked out at that point. And then right when he did that, he pointed his gun straight at my face. And I got terrified. I didn't know what to do, like deer in the headlights. And then I just jumped into the aisle and just curled up into a little ball and waited for him to go away. He did shoot me, but then he started shooting people right behind me.
By the way, let me jump in. And again, I'll say, for a woman who had a gun 5 feet from her face a couple of hours before, she is remarkably composed and articulate.
Yeah, I'd be saying,
you'd be curled up in your bed now. Yeah. I mean, she sounds like she's talking about a guy who caught a foul ball at a baseball game, right? She goes on.
And I saw, you know, gun shells were touching my forehead. They were burning my forehead. All I could smell was, you know, smoke, and then massive amounts of screaming and panic and chaos.
Right.
And then he started going up the stairs, and every time somebody would try to flee, he would shoot them. You know, and he didn't have a specific order. It was just, you know, whoever was moving, he would go for it.
Jennifer, since you came face-to-face with this guy, I want to ask you a question. Some people have said he was wearing a gas mask. You had seen the first several minutes of this movie. There is a character in this movie named Bane who wears kind of a mask, a mouthpiece contraption, and a bit of a partial helmet. Was this guy dressed as that character, or did he have an actual working gas mask on?
No, he had an actual working gas mask, and to describe what he kind of looked like was, if you've ever seen like a SWAT movie or a military movie, he literally was dressed in camo, and he was wearing a bulletproof vest and a gas mask and a gun. He looked like he was going to go in with a SWAT. Like, that's why I'm sure when he escaped finally, nobody saw anything of it, because they thought he was probably a cop or something. You know?
Terrifying story just after midnight in Aurora, Colorado this morning for the screening of The Dark Knight Rising. By the way, they've canceled the Paris premiere. There will be no red carpet premiere there. Their interviews are off with the stars there. And New York City police have announced that they are going to be appearing in many theaters around all five boroughs in case there are people who are nervous about going to the screenings, or in the case of a copycat shooter, which seems unlikely. I mean, this sounds like just one crazy dude.
Yeah, just out of his mind.
But no matter what the circumstances, it's just a terrible, awful tragedy. And, you know, it certainly is marring what has been a day that we have all been looking forward to as film fans for a long time. This is not anything that anybody wanted to associate with the final Dark Knight movie.
To cheer you up a bit, Kate Beckinsale does not like panties.
That was a hell of a transition.
She told Maxim magazine, yeah, I don't wear panties. I mean, unless I'm wearing a very short skirt, or maybe I'm going on a mountain expedition with extra layers. But no, I don't like them.
That right. News almost makes me forget about the other news.
Come
I have to
on.
Tell you, they're about even in opposite directions. So, in other words, the next time you see Kate Beckinsale,
correct,
look closely. That's what you're
correct
saying.
Correct.
All right, we'll talk Breaking Bad with Anna Gunn coming up next year on The Kevin and Bean Show. Today's celebrity birthdays, a lot of hotties. Supermodel Gisele Bündchen turns 32 years old today. Julianne Hough, who's so adorable on Dancing with the Stars. She's been in a couple of movies as well, including that Dirty Dancing remake. Unfortunately, she's living with Ryan Seacrest, so she's not perfect. She turns 24 today. Our friend actress Judy Greer is 37 from 2 and a Half Men. Actor Simon Rex turns 38. Omar Epps from House, 39. Sandra Oh's Grey's Anatomy from Grey's Anatomy is 41 years old today. Josh Holloway from the TV show Lost is 43. And a couple of our favorite musicians celebrating birthdays today. Stone Gossard from Pearl Jam is 46. And Chris Cornell from Soundgarden, Audioslave, he is 48. And that's the show business.
Congratulations, Erin DeRosa from Huntington Beach. She is our grand prize winner. She gets to go to Lollapalooza to see the Black Keys and the other 500 bands that are playing there.
Yep.
So congratulations
to her. In Chicago, by the way.
Yeah, Lollapalooza in Chicago.
Yeah,
sorry,
that's
I thought that
quite
was
the grand prize. Yes, no, 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 that's big. That's a big deal. So she won tickets for Black Keys throughout the week here on K-Rock to go see him locally at Staples Center. Now she is our grand prize winner for destination number 3 of the K-Rock Road Trip USA 2012. I'm so excited. Anna Gunn is here. She, of course, is Skylar White on AMC's Breaking Bad Sunday nights at 10. Seriously, you guys, next to boobies, what's better than Breaking Bad? I say nothing. I say nothing.
I say nothing as well.
Anna, hi.
Hello.
Actually, I forgot. Didn't you request and you tell producer Dave you insist on being introduced as Emmy-nominated Anna Gunn?
That's
isn't
right.
That what,
that's right. It's attached the new rules? To me now. It's the new rules.
Congratulations on you and all of your co-workers who got the nominations
Thank
that came
you.
Out yesterday.
Thank you.
And you did. You were awake, but we're not watching, right?
Yes, that is correct. I my eyes popped open at about 5:28, and I was trying to be all mellow and detached about it, so I tried.
Just like, I don't really care.
I don't really care. I know things are going on, but it's early, and I'm tired.
The work is enough of a benefit for you.
That's
I don't
right.
need to worry about
you
awards.
Know, my five-year-old is sleeping beside me. She crawled in bed with me, and I went, you know, I have to be quiet, and, you know. And then the phone started buzzing, mm-hmm. so I went, hello, hello, oh my God, really? And then I went out, closed the door, and then began making an inordinate amount of noise in my living room.
Animal noises?
Yes, animal, like squealing noises.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. And then the
Was this your first nomination?
It was my first, my
and
very
what,
first.
What were you thinking? I mean, what was your mindset going in? Did you put a percentage on how likely it was that you'd get a call?
I do not know percentages. I'm very bad with numbers, so it's good that I'm an actress. But I
you just
you
know that stupid Cranston keeps getting it.
That guy Cranston
right?
with his constant
What's that
thing
guy?
With
what do you have to do?
Mind.
Shave your head too?
Totally.
All
I was
right.
going to do
well,
it probably.
He won again, so what?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm tired of it.
I'm tired of that guy with the bald head.
You know, we have a lot of actors and actresses. It's one of the fun things about the job is getting to meet the people we admire so much on TV. And every one of you know how lucky you are
yes.
when you get on a show like this. I mean, this is the kind of show that people will remember and talk about in 50 years. And
yeah.
you'll always be proud to be a part of it. That
Absolutely.
Must be so special.
It's very special. And we know that it doesn't come along very often. Writing like the writing we get doesn't come along very often. So we all know how incredibly lucky we are.
Was it a tough sell at the beginning when the show first came on? Was there any kind of pushback from people who go, oh, too dark or we're not comfortable with this kind of material, or did it come out of the gate as just a sensation?
I think it came out of the gate pretty strong with a smaller group of really devoted fans, but then the fan base has just exploded, especially over the last season. So.
I remember watching the first episode and thinking to myself, like I did with Dexter and a couple of other shows, maybe The Sopranos, just there's no wow, there's no way they can keep this up. This was too good an hour of TV.
Yeah.
There's no way next week.
What do they got for next week? Right.
Right. They used up everything in this one episode. And then it keeps on week after week after week. And it's really an amazing feat.
It is. It is. When we read the scripts, and because we never know what's coming. We never know what's going to happen, truly. And so we get the scripts and we're as excited as, you know, the audience is when they're watching it. And I never know. I can never predict the hairpin turns they take.
Really?
Never.
And
never.
You don't want to know? Sometimes you don't just go, hey, next season, what's happening?
We tried that at the beginning with Vince, but he's very good at holding the cards just close to
Tell me about Vince Gilligan. I don't know anything about him except that Breaking Bad comes from his mind. What kind of a dude is he?
He is the nicest, most polite Southern gentleman and just, you know, pretty soft-spoken, incredibly good manners. And then
he's
he
got
comes
some
up
darkness
the,
in there.
He's got a little twist and stuff going on in that mind.
Yeah.
You know, when somebody puts a head on a tortoise, you know, it reveals a little something about what's going on in their psyche, I think.
He worked on the X-Files for a long time. That was his background, right?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Wow.
And he came up with this concept with another one of our wonderful writers, Tom Schnauz, and they shopped it around, and plenty of people at that point said, not so much. And AMC and Sony were the brave ones.
God bless them.
Yeah.
For people who haven't gotten on board yet, explain to them the basic premise of the show.
Basic premise is a chemistry teacher with a wife who's pregnant with a sort of surprise baby. They already have a son in high school who has cerebral palsy, and he has to work a second job, not making enough money to even support his family. At that point, he works a second job in a car wash. He gets terminal lung cancer. He finds out he feels like he's not going to be able to leave anything to his family. So through a series of events with his riding along with his DEA brother-in-law, he decides
decides to begin cooking crystal meth. He sees one of his former students, and he hooks up with him, and they begin their journey as meth cookers together.
And that's not the worst part of the show. That's the best part of the show. And then, everything else is weirder.
Right, and then it gets darker.
And then it gets dark, exactly. You mentioned how, especially in this last season, Breaking Bad is just hitting ridiculous levels that none of you expected, but how did that translate into your weekend in San Diego? What was that like for you guys to go to Comic-Con?
Oh, my gosh. It was my first time down there, and I don't think any of us expected what we met with. We were ushered backstage while they were playing the preview of the coming season for the audience. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we just heard this roar that I certainly have never experienced.
Like, scare you?
Like rock star, you know, like rock concert roar. Yeah, it scared us. I said, how many people are out there? And they... AMC publicist said, call me, about 4,000. And then when they introduced us, we had this great moderator, and when he introduced each one of us, it felt like we were wrestling stars.
All right.
Like, and as the woman who protects the family, the man who protects the family, and while he was saying it, you'd hear screaming. And when I came around the curtain, apparently my face looked like a kid who comes out on Christmas morning and sees the best present.
Yeah.
Under the tree, because it was just sort of overwhelming, and they were great, and it was an amazing experience. We all said that's as close to rock stars as we'll ever feel,
and it was fantastic.
And then it continued on from there. So
tell
me,
because you told us briefly off the air as the song was hitting, tell me about the stuff you signed.
Okay, so
right, we need to take a break. Hold on one second.
Oh,
I'm
going
to take a break before that. The stuff
don't
she said.
Be the bad one.
We'll ask her the same question, and she can answer when we come back.
Emmy nominated Anna Gunn is in studio. She plays, and this is tough to say, Walt White's wife.
Wow,
Skyler. Sunday nights at 10 on AMC. We're talking Breaking Bad when we return on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for joining us today here on a Friday. Ralph's on vacation, so Mr. Movie Phone himself, Russ Leatherman, joins us in a few minutes to give his review of The Dark Knight Rising. As if that movie needs a review, by the way. Has every movie ever needed to be less reviewed than the new Batman film?
I have not looked at one review and don't care.
No.
Yeah, right,
no,
exactly.
Cares.
In the meantime, beautiful actress Anna Gunn in studio with us. She is the wife of Walter White, played by Bryan Cranston on AMC's Breaking Bad, Sunday nights at 10 on AMC. Season 5 just began last week. People can still jump on board. I know there are people who go, well, I missed it the first time around. I missed the first few seasons or whatever. You can still pick it up anytime that you want, right, Skyler? I mean, you guys do a pretty good job of kind of resetting for us.
Yep, absolutely. I have so many people come up who say, I just had a marathon, you know, Netflix marathon. It's a great way to watch it. You know, there's a lot of ways to get it. And also, I think they may still be doing some replaying of previous seasons on AMC. So
here's what you need to know. The chemistry teacher who's cooking meth because he's going to die has turned into a badass.
Yes.
I mean, who saw that coming season one? Holy God. Yeah. He was so just like scared and nervous and didn't know what he was doing and leaning on. And all of a sudden, he's the mafia. What's happening?
I know it. He's breaking really bad.
Yes. And Bryan Cranston, by the way, whoever decided, all right, we'll take the Malcolm the Middle dad and turn him badass. Great. Obviously, he's a phenomenal actor and he can do it all. But I bet there were some people at the beginning who thought, this can't be the same guy. It's not the same actor, right?
Well, Brian tells a story that he actually did one episode of an X-Files with Vince several years ago, and his character was this just horrible bad guy. And the premise of the particular show was that I think Mulder had to keep him alive, and the deal was they were in a car, and if the car went under, you know, 70 miles an hour, something like that, he was going to die. But Vince wrote the guy, and instead of writing him as a sympathetic character, he wrote him as just an awful, you know, terrible jerk.
Right.
And so he likes to go off center. Vince is really good at that. So he already knew that Cranston was, had that in him. And so when they met, you know, I think it was just that meeting and that was it. He was sold.
Isn't that interesting how, let's face it, both of their lives have changed so much as a result of that one episode of The X-Files from all those years ago. Look where they are today, right?
So how is Aaron Paul so good?
He's just unbelievable.
What is it about him?
He's, first of all, one of the nicest guys in the world. And I think because of that, he plays Jesse with such, you have such compassion for the kid. And as he says, you know, he's just this lost kid.
Right.
So I think it's really, you know, the humanity humanity that he gives them that makes people just want to, you know, root for Jesse and see him be okay. And it's the same thing with, you know, Brian as the ultimate anti-hero. People have just been rooting for him and rooting for him. However, I believe that may be changing.
Is that right?
Maybe changing now. I don't know.
We're a little further that direction, are we?
Yeah, you know, some of the things he's done lately, not so good. Yeah.
I'm gonna waste about a little less than a minute of your time, Anna, because I want to play a clip from the show, and I think you know what clip I'm going to play. It's from season 4. You've talked about it in interviews as being one of your favorite scenes that you've ever got to shoot on Breaking Bad. And this is where you realize what's going on and that your husband is over the line. He's in over his head, as you say, and you're trying to talk him into just going to the police and giving him up. And this is really where your eyes are opened so wide to what you're dealing with in Bryan Cranston's character. Check it out.
A school teacher, cancer, desperate for money.
Okay, we're done here.
Roped into working for, unable to even quit. You told me that yourself, Walt. Jesus, what was I thinking? Walt, please, let's both of us stop trying to justify this whole thing and admit you're in danger.
Who are you talking to right now? Who is it you think you see? Do you know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it. Do you know what would happen if I suddenly decided to stop going into work? A business big enough that it could be listed on the NASDAQ goes belly up. It disappears. It ceases to exist without me. No, you clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Skyler. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Chills.
Wow.
Right? Chills.
Yow.
So they call cut on that scene, and you just stand there quietly for a moment and go, what just happened?
Everybody goes, Brian, you all right?
Yeah, that's right. You okay, Brian? You okay? Can I get you anything?
I mean, seriously, is that so intense? Just listening to it, not to mention seeing it, did you know how special that scene was when you shot it?
We knew reading it that it was an extraordinary scene because, first of all, Vince... And our amazing writers write longer scenes than normally you have on television, and it gives the characters a real chance to take these twists and turns and curves that nobody's expecting. And we really went all over the map emotionally in that scene. But by the end of that, when he says, you know, I'm the one who knocks, it's truly scary. And Brian and I laugh between takes, and we have a lot of lightness because you've got to when you're shooting those kinds of scenes. But when we're in it and the camera's rolling, he scared me.
You were scared to death.
Yeah.
There's no question. Yeah. You weren't acting.
No. I back away slowly. Don't move too quickly. Don't look him in the eye.
Of season 5, they just played this past Sunday. Skylar is in many ways just over her husband at this point. I mean, you're kind of there because, you know, the kid and everything and because you want to be safe and all that. But you've had enough of his nonsense. We haven't seen the end of the tension between you two.
Oh my gosh, no. It's unfortunate. We always say that we've never had a happy meal around the white dining table. it's just not that kind of thing. But she's actually feeling, I think, completely trapped and like a hostage. And she's tried so hard since she found out this crazy stuff to control it and to do something and take action. Okay, I'm going to launder the money this way. No, and then I'm going to deal with the Ted Beneke situation this way. And she keeps trying desperately to control things, and she can't. And I think...
And in that last scene, you were giving up and saying, we can't do this safely. And he comes back and says, oh, yes, we can.
Yeah. And she starts... Scary. Yeah, it's really scary. And she starts to realize that he really is the one who's steering this and that it's a lot deeper than she originally thought. And she's culpable now as well.
Before we took a break, we said something happened at Comic-Con that was funny.
Oh, right. You were signing.
I want to make sure we don't forget to get that in.
Yeah, so we had an autograph signing, and, you know, normally just people are passing pictures or posters or whatnot. Sometimes really amazing original art as well, I have to say. But I think I'll never forget this. People just yelling, hey, Anna, could you sign my meth? and giant bags, like gallon freezer bags of crystal blue, what I hope is rock candy, is passed across.
Could have been meth for all you know.
Yes,
right. You could have been signing bags
that's
of meth.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That's something you sign up for.
Somebody's
going to SAG card.
Somebody's going to get pulled over, and they're going to find out with your signature.
Wait a minute.
Her fingerprints are on it as well.
Oh, that's right. Fingerprints. Good point, Kevin.
Oh, no. And then there was this other young lady, who was dressed in in a Walter White green shirt and tidy whities, and she really wanted Vince to sign her tidy whities, and he's such a gentleman. I was like, well, I don't know if he finally did it, sort of with his eyes closed and hand, you know, arm extended straight out, but yeah, it was great. Funny.
Tell me if I'm hitting something I'm not supposed to.
Yes, exactly.
Now, let's talk about, we're out of time, unfortunately, because this is, the show's so good, but let's talk about the schedule, because we hold you personally responsible.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, what's the deal here?
We only do that because there's no one else in the studio with
exactly,
us right now.
Okay. I got to take
it. So you're going to have 8 episodes.
Yes.
And then... And then how much time happens before the final 8?
I'm so sorry to tell you that less than a year will pass before it airs again. I mean, we're shooting the final 8 starting in November.
Okay, what if that's not all right with us?
I believe that I can give you Vince Gilligan's number at the end of the show. He won't care.
So what, he's got the pesky job of writing those 8 episodes before you film them? That's what's going on here?
Yeah, the writers actually just are on a very short break, and I think they go back to work in a week and break the rest of the stories and do their brilliance. So,
has it hit you yet that this is the last season and that this is all coming to an end?
It sneaks up on us, and I get a little melancholy about it. But, you know, Brian's advice, which is really good, is just, you know, this is a once-in-a-lifetime experience with this show, and just enjoy it, savor each moment, be in the moment, and then when it comes time to say goodbye, then we do it then. I'm not going to get all, you know, trying to...
It's too soon to get weepy.
Yeah, exactly. That's just embarrassing. So we'll save that for...
Well, this probably doesn't even mean anything to you because you hear it every time you walk out your front door. But, you know, like everyone else, we're such huge fans of yours and of this show. And you guys are doing tremendous work. And thank you for bringing us one of the best shows on TV. We just love it so much.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming in. We really enjoyed it. Magnets!
Thank you.
We would be having a very different feeling about this conversation with our good friend Russ Leatherman, Mr. Movie Phone, on the phone right now about the new Batman film, Mr. Movie Phone, about the new Batman film that opened up at midnight. It had the tragic events in Aurora, Colorado not happen. And Russ, I see you've been tweeting about it all day today. This is a pall that nobody would ever want to see. We should be having fun with the new Batman movie, yet all we can think about is how awful that thing was that happened this morning, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's an incredible movie. People should be just thinking about going out to the movie theaters and having fun. And that's kind of the opposite of what's happening. You know, brings up a bunch of questions. How will the movie continue to do? What's going on with security? All that stuff. So there's a lot more going on this morning than we thought there was going to be.
Well, you were asking the question on your Twitter feed about whether it would affect people's plans on going out to see the movie, fearing that there would be a copycat or other violence would break out. To me, this just looks like a crazy one-time lone shooter. I don't think this is the kind of movie that is going to create violence like a gang movie or some of those others that have had problems in the past.
Well, it's funny you bring that up because we have had this happen in the past, right? In Westwood, right down the street. Some years ago it happened, and it's interesting because I have been asking people, will it affect your going to see the movie this weekend? And I will tell you that about 50% of the people who are responding are saying yeah.
Really?
Yep, I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to wait the weekend out. I'm going to see what happens, which is just a crime. You know, the movie is broke the midnight box office opening record, on the way to beating the Avengers opening weekend record. And, you know, it's all anecdotal, these folks saying, yeah, I'm going to take a pause. But it looks like it may have some effect on the box office this weekend.
I hope not.
Well, I want to hear your review. But first, let's start with the world's shortest review, as you often provide, the 6-second review from Mr. Movie Phone. Let's hear what he had to say, and then we'll expand upon it.
Not quite badtastic, but a hell of a ride. The Dark Knight Rises will have fans all over the world going bad crazy.
Is that good or is that bad, Russ?
Oh, my God.
Wow, even that has sort of a weird ring to it.
Yes, it does.
This morning. It's good and it's bad. Have you guys seen the movie?
No,
today.
Can't wait.
All right, well, we're going to be careful because we don't want to give away too much, because I've even been yelling at other critics because, you know, people are giving away plot lines, way too much information. Here's what I will tell you. If you're going to go see the movie this weekend, and we think that you should, see it in IMAX. Right? You've got to go see it in IMAX. Over an hour of the movie was shot in IMAX.
Oh.
So that's how it was meant to be seen. You know, it looks great on other screens, but...
And there's no 3D because Christopher Nolan hates that, right?
Yeah, so, and I'm sort of with him.
So the IMAX is the best way of watching this movie.
I actually think it's the very best way of watching the movie. I couldn't have been more blown away by some of the effects, by some of the, you know, the action scenes, etc. With that said, and again, I'm not going to give too much away, I think the movie has a couple problems, too. Okay. So
you know you're going to get death threats of your own now on Rotten Tomatoes just for saying that, right?
I know. Isn't that crazy, right? Like, what is wrong with people?
Yeah.
People are just all effed up.
It's okay if a movie has a few flaws.
You know what? And here's the thing you need to know about the movie. It's 2 hours and 45 minutes long. So save that large Coke cup.
Right.
Because,
to be in, right?
Because that's going to come in handy. I'm also going to tell you that Bane, who is the the character in the movie, who's the evildoer.
The bad guy.
About half of what he says kind of sounds like this. I can't really tell you anything.
But that's the same with Batman, isn't it?
God, Batman. But it's true. I don't know if you guys remember, but some months ago when the trailer came out, people couldn't understand what Bane was saying.
Right.
And so the studio went in and cleaned up the trailer. I think they probably should have cleaned up the movie a little bit, too.
They just cleaned up the trailer? That's it?
Well,
it's... So you have to kind of strain to understand what he's saying.
You really do. I found myself looking at the guy next to me and go, what did he say? What did he say? So,
was the guy next to you Fred Willard?
Hey,
I want to interrupt
you.
A fellow moviegoer.
What are you saying? I don't like where this is going.
Just asking questions, man.
But, Russ, let me ask you this, because other reviewers have said it's only great. And because it's Christopher Nolan, because the first two movies were so amazing, it seems like we're expecting something inhuman because it has to be so great. They're saying it's only excellent.
Right.
I mean,
it's only super.
Right. You know exactly. What it's just, it's not the best movie you've ever seen, but it's really, 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 really good, right?
I think that's true. And it's all about expectations. What I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to bring the people down a little
down
bit.
Down a bit. Okay.
So when you go in, it's just going to blow your mind.
Love it.
And I think that's going to happen. So we definitely think people should go see it this weekend. You know, there was a question when I walked out of the theater. I thought to myself, they say this is the last one. Is this going to be the last one? I can tell you right now, I think it's going to be the last one.
You do?
Well, but I'm telling you what I would do if I was a studio over there. I'd be rebooting that Catwoman franchise.
Yeah, agreed.
Oh, yeah. I've seen Anne Hathaway in the trailers, yes. Let me ask you about that, because this is my other fear. We were talking yesterday on the air. Lisa May did not love the last Batman movie, partly because she thought it was overstuffed. We didn't need Heath Ledger and the Two-Faced character, the Tommy Jones character. I was worried when I started to see star after star after star sign up for this Dark Knight movie. You got Michael Caine, you got Anne Hathaway, Tom Hardy, Gary Oldman, Marion Cotillard, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Morgan Freeman. How can they possibly have enough for all those actors to do in one movie?
Well, they barely do. I can tell you that Lisa, you could make the same argument for this movie, that it is a little bit overstuffed, and thank goodness they took the 2 hours and 45 minutes, or we wouldn't have gotten to know any of these characters, right? So some of the same arguments can be made. I think fans of the franchise, like you heard in a little six-second review there, I think they're just going to go crazy. I think they're going to love it. I think if you weren't a fan, you're going to come away with the same feelings about this movie that you had about the last
movie. That's exciting, because I love the last movie.
Yeah, well, then you're going to love it. I will tell you, though, there's sort of no way that Bane can hold up to the character that and sort of the thing that Heath Ledger brought to the last movie.
That was magic.
It was magic.
It really was.
And that's not going to be replicated. But like Dean said, it's like, okay, so you're saying it's not super fantastic, magical, everything else. It's just great.
Right. All right. All right. Last question, and if it's apples and oranges and it's not fair to compare because the Marvel and the DC worlds are very different in these kinds of movies, would you say this is a better film than The Avengers?
Completely different kind of film. The Avengers was fun. There's nothing fun about The Dark Knight. It is very dark and pretty nighty.
That should be your six-second review. Russ Leatherman is Mr. Movie Phone. You can hear his six-second reviews at sixsecondreviews.com. That's with the number, and follow them on facebook.com/MrMoviePhone. Thank you so much, Russ. Have a great weekend. We appreciate you coming on.
See you tonight, Max.
Thank you. Dear Kevin and Bean, Jerry writes in, what does token blacklister Anel do for a living? I think he handled the appraisal on my home refi back in 2008. Is that possible? Says Jerry, go Raiders. Anel, that was you probably.
No comment.
Trying not to be found?
First of all, Anel is a very, very common name.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, Anel,
I know 10 of them myself.
I know
10
of them myself. There are several black guys named Anel out there. So to answer your question, Jerry, no, I did not do your appraisal in Pasadena.
There you go.
Okay. It's because of the Go Raiders. That's why you want to distance yourself. Well, Anel is here, as he does from time to time, filling in for Ralph Garman on the Showbiz Beat with the Girl Holla Edition. That's the sound you like to hear between each of your
Girl
stories. What's going on today?
Holla!
Oh, man, it's crazy out there in these streets, man. First of all, have you guys been keeping up with this whole Michael Jackson estate fiasco that's going on right now? Well, apparently what's going on is the kids, man, Michael's brothers and whatnot, they are after his dough. Okay.
Oh, it's only a matter of time, right?
Well, you know, he was in the red
for a long time.
And I guess for the first time now, his estate's turning a profit, as it should. And it says here that Randy, Jermaine, Janet, Tito, and Rebe. I always like that name.
There's no Rebe.
Rebe. There is a Rebe. I should name my next kid that. Rebe River.
You shouldn't.
There
was Rebe the one who had the hit Centipede in L?
Goddamn right. Bean, you, see, that's why I mess with Bean, because Bean knows.
That had the dance that went with it and everything,
centipede.
Right?
Centipede! Yeah, so y'all ain't seen me. I'm doing the Centipede right now.
So's Bean.
Yeah, right. But, yeah, Rebe, you know, they all signed a letter demanding that the executors of the MJ estate step down, claiming that they're feeling so badly they're causing stress to Catherine. Okay. When these guys took over, Michael's estate was something like, I think, half a billion in debt, like $500 million in the hole or some crazy number like that.
And
now they're actually in the black, so I don't know what the argument is if they're doing a bad job. But the executives have now fired back, saying that the reason they're trying to do this is to make it seem like Catherine Jackson's infirm so they can get a conservative, conservationship, whatever it's called.
Conservatorship?
You know, like, yeah, I can never get that word out.
Me either.
Me neither. But, yeah, like what Britney Spears had.
Yeah.
The Britney thing. Okay, so, yeah, because once Catherine kicks, the money goes to the kids.
Right.
And, you know, Blanket's a stingy, you know, so he ain't gonna break bread. y'all know Blanket don't share his cheese. So, yeah, so that happens. So
I never thought about Blanket sharing his cheese.
Nah, look, it's a known fact in the street. Okay. Blanket don't break bread, dog. That's just how it gets down. So, yeah, man. So, basically, prepare for the War of the Jacksons. It's going to go down, man.
Wow.
It's going to be pretty. And I'll be there on the front lines to bring you the news every day.
Girl, holla!
Next up, man. This one hit close to home, man, because, you know, the whole Sage Stallone death.
Yes.
You know, a lot of people don't know this. I don't publicize my personal life too often, but Sage, I actually, you know, knew the dude from.
You did?
You know, yeah, Sage and I are the exact same. We graduated the same year from high school and, you know, just kind of running around these streets here, man. But the report's saying that, I guess, the LAPD found several little baggies containing white powder.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of that, okay, you know the prescription bottles that the pharmacies have?
Yes.
Not the little tiny ones we get. I mean that big old, like, looks like a, yeah, like a tank.
Oh, yeah, that they pour into our little bottles?
Exactly.
Yes.
They found 60 of those in his home.
Of the big ones?
Of the big ones.
Oh.
But here's the kicker. They were all empty. Not one pill found in the house. Which means either you are taking...
Couldn't take that much.
I don't think an elephant could take that
much.
Yeah,
I don't think it's possible.
I don't think Charlie Sheen... could take that much weekend.
It was
best weekend. So they're suspecting, this is alleged, that maybe Sage may have been doing some dealing.
Oh.
Okay.
I think he was holding them for a friend.
That's okay.
That's what I was
saying. 60 of those bottles?
None of that was his.
My parents think I have the worst friends. Anytime they ever found drugs in my room, I was holding it for a friend. And my dad once said, you know what? You need to tell your friend to get some goddamn pockets. I'm tired of you holding his dope.
You don't have pockets that big. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know, man. So hopefully, you know, I hope it's not true. You know what I'm saying?
Well, die from dealing, though. I mean, I think we can assume he was taking some
as well,
right?
Yeah. You know, man, it's one thing I've learned from watching Breaking Bad, man. You know,
you don't get, that's a TV show.
Poyos. Poyos, man.
Yeah.
Poyos. Next up. All right. We got two celebrity couples hit the dirt.
Yes.
One I'm a little upset about. The other one I could not be happier about.
Okay.
The one I'm actually upset about is, did you guys know Johnny Depp was recently dating Amber Heard?
We did know that.
Yes.
By the way, that story just broke last week.
Bean, where's my bell?
Yeah, right. My mistake, sorry.
Use your hands this time.
And we talked about it at length on this show because Amber Heard has been very famously a lesbian in recent years. And we were saying, well, you are a lesbian until Johnny Depp comes along. And then all of a sudden, you're like, I'm not a vegetarian anymore. I'm going for the meat.
Man, look, you know, a nail and vagina, you know, we go together like a nail and vagina. I would date Johnny Depp. I really would.
Yeah, he's a good deal. He's a good deal.
But they broke up now?
Yeah, I guess what happened was, see, here's the deal. They were filming the Rum Diaries together. At the time, you know, Johnny Depp had his little, what was that girl's name? Parisa or whatever her name was.
Parodies, yeah.
Yeah, Parodies, there you go. And then Amber Heard was dating the photographer.
Right.
Okay, I forgot her name. I'm terrible at names.
Doesn't matter
at all, but she was hot. And there's some speculation that they may have developed that whole relationship on the set.
Right.
But then, you know, it leaked. And so now Amber Heard is kind of falling back a little bit from a Johnny Depp.
Oh, like, I see.
You know, I guess she doesn't want to be considered a homewrecker or whatnot. And, you know, but.
I can see that.
I can't see any woman falling back from Johnny Depp. Good on you, Amber Heard. You got cojones. And the next couple that
Girl,
I am.
Oops, holla. Sorry.
And no worries, that I'm actually fine with breaking up with is Chris Brown. Has officially broken up with his girlfriend. I believe her name is Carush Tran. Rumor has it. Yeah, good for her, man. You know what? I
I like Chris Brown's music. I do not like him as a person. I mean, you just can't beat on women like that. It's not cool. But I'm glad to see that he is maturing and that he's just breaking up with his girlfriends as opposed to breaking his girlfriends.
Yeah.
So that's a good way to go there. But yeah, rumor has it he she was talking to Drake about some, you know, she's a video girl, talking to him about business, something like that. And well, you know, pimps can tell you, man, you know what I'm saying? You can't be making, you know, just choose, man. You know, you got to keep your pimp hand strong. So he cut it loose from the team.
You do have to keep your pimp hand strong. That's what I found.
That's what you're
talking about. We've said that, although much better in previous shows. Now, let me ask you this question. Look,
yes, sir.
I hate Chris Brown just like you guys do. Not only is he, an abuser, and there's no excuse for that, he's also a dick. He also handled the whole thing so badly. He made no attempt to even rehabilitate himself, either personally or professionally, as far as I can see. But my question to you is, does that mean he doesn't ever get to date anyone again as long as he lives?
Well,
as far as I mean, concerned.
years down the road, is it okay if he gets a wife?
I mean, Ike Taylor got remarried. Anything's possible. You know what I'm saying? So who knows, man? You know, I don't know, man. I guess it's just one of those things. Ike Turner, I guess this is one of those things where, like, you know, you can forgive somebody for what they've done. You really can.
But it requires some effort on their part.
But I
it would be a lot easier to forgive if I felt like he had really moved on and he still didn't walk around like we did him wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
His attitude.
Well, as my mom always says, you know, you can forgive, but you don't have to forget. I mean, you can keep that. Like, when I do with people like that, shady individuals that I don't particularly care for, I just kind of file away my mental Rolodex.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you're dealing with that person, that you're dealing with an a-hole. And that's what it is. You know what I mean? So, do I like Chris Brown? Not particularly. Does he deserve to find love like everybody else? Sure, why not? I just advise that woman buy headgear. You know, right? Next up, we got some celebrity birthdays. We got guitarist Carlos Santana. He is a 65.
Take it easy.
We got a singer Chris Cornell of Audioslave. He's 48. And Stone Gosch is 46. Actor Josh Holloway of Lost is 43. Bean says Sandra No is 41. You got actor Omar Epps proving Black Don't Crack is a very young looking 39. Simon Rex, 38. Judy Greer, 37. Giselle Bundchen is 32. And Julianne Hough is 24 years young. And I'm your man, Anel Rivers, with the Showbiz Busy. Follow me on Twitter. That's at Anel Rivers, A-N-E-L. If you can't spell Rivers, don't be my friend.
Kevin, you're so lucky you got to listen to Red Hot Chili Peppers and not listen to Tranny Talk.
Tranny Talk is our new feature. I'm exhausted by Anel Rivers and his appearance, by the way. I love the dude.
I need a nap.
But small doses. All right. Why has Dwight Howard not yet become a Los Angeles Laker? This is turning into a thing that goes on week after week after week. What's the holdup? We asked an expert, our friend Matt Money Smith, former sports guy at the Kevin and Bean Show, now with the Petros and Money radio show. He'll join us in about 10 minutes or so to explain what the hell is going on with the Lakers. First, though, we got a very interesting email from one of our longtime Kevin and Bean listeners this week, and we very rarely look in the rearview mirror on this program because we don't have a lot to be proud of in past shows, right?
We always think it'll be better tomorrow.
So this will be only something that longtime K&B listeners will remember, but we did a contest apparently back in, what, 1988, I guess it must have been?
No.
Called the – what was it? 98, sorry. Was it 98? What year was it, Eric?
98.
Yeah,
98. Okay, 1998. Sorry, did the math wrong there. We did a contest called Living It and Win It, where we were giving away at the time was the brand new Volkswagen Beetles when they first reintroduced them, and they were the hottest car in America. Is that right?
That's right.
Okay, and what was the contest? How did it work? Because you were one of the contestants.
Right. So there were four listeners and one person from the radio station, Big Tad, back in the day.
First it was Big Tad, and then it was the Armenian comedian, wasn't it?
Right, and then it was, which was worse.
Which was worse,
smaller,
of course.
But way worse.
Yeah, of course.
And we all lived in one car for 2 weeks.
Right, and we thought people would drop off as it went along, and we would have one winner, and then we would present that winner with a brand new car. That was our idea for the contest.
So the contest was you climb into the car. Now, how were you selected? How were you picked as one of the four listeners who got a chance to even go for the car?
I think you had us, like, send in a postcard. This was probably before a lot of people emailed. I don't know. It was a long time ago.
98 was, I mean,
we certainly didn't have email back then.
Right. Oh, of course. Why would you? You had to send in, like, a postcard telling us why you should pick us. And I had just been in an accident and totaled my only car and still had to pay it off.
Wow. So the chance at a new car, even if it meant giving up a couple of weeks of your life, was just too good to pass up. So we put you in that car. And what was the deal? Refresh my memory. You could only be out of the car for how long, per hour or per 3 hours?
So every 3 hours, we got a 10-minute break so that we could take care of nature's business, and then
right.
got back in the car, and we would rotate. So
that seems cool until like 24 hours into it, and then it's like, holy cow, I'm getting back into a car.
Yeah, and the car got worse and worse as far as the smell
goes. Of course, sure, yeah. So you hung in there, and all of your other competitors hung in there, and it was a day, and then it was 3 days, and then it was 5 days, and then it was a week, and then it got to be 2 weeks. And then I guess at some point we were thinking, this thing's never going to end. We've got to be done with this contest, right?
I think we had a meeting where we just decided, let's wait until they die off. Maybe it'll take months. Maybe it'll take years.
And were you guys having conversation in the car where you were trying to bribe each other? Hey, please, I'll give you $1,000 if you get out of the car and stuff like that. Or did any of that totally. Even come up?
So, well, you know, that came up earlier on in the contest. I think there was a little bit of solidarity toward the end. But, yeah, like, you know, one of the guys, I don't know if you remember, there was a mortician, Doug Goudreau. Was in
That's
the
right.
car. And he never changed his clothes, which was part of his tactic.
And he did it on purpose.
He did it on purpose
to try to smell you guys out.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And it almost worked. It was real. But after a while, I think they you know, you get sensory overload, so you can't really smell it anymore. But people, when they come up to the window, would
right.
comment on how it smelled like a junior high locker room.
And by the way, having to listen to K-Rock as you did in the car for two solid weeks. Imagine how many times you heard "Don't Speak."
That's too much. That really is too much.
All right. So, for people who don't know, how did the contest end, Eric?
So, after 2 weeks, you guys called it. You said, you know, we're just going to call it, and you did a rock paper scissors contest. I think Jimmy Kimmel was in charge of that.
You have to understand, these are people who've lived in this car for 2 weeks,
for
and
two
they're
weeks.
Doing a rock paper scissors to find out who wins the car.
Right. We were kind of delirious by that point anyway, because, you know, we would try to sleep at night, but then you have crazy K-Rock listeners coming at 3
right.
in the morning yelling your name.
We told everybody where they were so they could go by and say hi, yes.
Exactly, which is really kind of you.
Sure.
And then, do you remember, by the way, do you remember the Pina Colada song? 24 hours of pina colada.
Oh, that's right.
Because we were trying to get somebody to step out of the car.
We tried to torture you out of the car.
I actually think that's against the law now.
Because you guys
discovered we're not allowed.
So let's get to the end.
It's Guantanamo, right.
Let's get to the end, and we call it, and we decide what?
Rock paper, scissors.
Did you win?
So I lost.
You lost, okay.
It was final four, and I got third place.
Okay.
And at the very, very end, so they hand keys to this stinky car, to the first place winner, and then you guys handed us all these envelopes, and we started reading off, you know, second place prize and the third place prize, and you pulled up three other cars and gave us all cars at the same time.
Yay!
Pretty cool.
It was amazing.
That was before we were owned by CBS.
Yeah, no kidding. So all four of the contestants, none of whom would drop out, all won a car. Everybody drove away with a brand new 1998 VW Beetle that day.
It was pretty much the best story that I've ever been able
now,
to
tell.
It's incredible. It's incredible because you were in such dire straits at the time. As you said, you had wrecked your car. You were dirt poor. But the reason you wrote to us this week, not only because, you know, it's an amazing story, is because you still have the car.
I still have the car, yeah. 306,000 miles.
Wow! It must just be a disaster. Is it a wreck?
No, well, okay, so the deal is...
It doesn't matter how nice the car is now. Yeah, of course.
but for 306,000 miles, it was running great.
Wow.
That's very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I just lucked out or what, but the things run like a champ, and, you know, it's a good story. It's one of those things that reminds me of you guys and the good fortune that I had and stuff. It's really cool.
Well, you sent us a great picture with the K-Rock sticker on the back and stuff, and you said that, you know, it was kind of a fluke when you entered the contest. You were desperate, but it literally changed your life, right? Because you didn't have a way to get around, get to work. You were dirt poor. I mean, to have a car and it's all paid off, I mean, that really, really turned you in the right direction. It sounds like it's been going a lot better since.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, it's amazing when you don't have transportation what it limits you on. And so when I did have transportation all of a sudden, it really did open up job opportunities and all kinds of things.
So
I'm really, really grateful.
Does this story have no but?
There's no but.
Every story that we take, but then.
Yeah, it is a Kevin and Bean contest. I'm expecting Eric to say,
right.
All that's true, but then
right.
the car gave me AIDS. Or
right.
something bad's exactly. going to happen as a result
There's
of
it. There's got to be a but. I'm not used to having no but.
Well, no, I work full-time as a musician, Eric says in his email. I got married a year and a half ago. Thanks for being part of my journey. You are sincerely a grateful heart, is what Eric Kautzer signs that, which is so nice. We rarely hear good feedback from anybody who's had any kind of personal interaction with us, Eric, so it means a lot to us, dude. And I'm so happy to hear that the car ran so well for you. Last question, did you make any friends with the other contestants? Have you stayed in touch with anybody else to see what's happened to them afterwards?
Like the Armenian comedian?
He and I are buddies. I actually have, we hung out once or twice afterwards, and I'm Facebook friends with Heidi, and I've emailed Doug a couple of times. I haven't heard from Jessica in a long time, but yeah, you know, every once in a while.
All right. That's very cool. Very cool. I mean, like I said, when we brought you on, we rarely look back, and this was all the way back in 1998, but it is a cool story, and I'm glad it had a happy ending. I'm so glad that you're still out there listening to us, too, man, after what we put you through. Thanks a lot.
Oh, man, I love it. I love the show.
Thank you, man.
Good. Hey, real quick, can I just mention my I'm in the middle of a Kickstarter campaign. If anybody wants to check me out, it's
nope.
ericshouse.net.
I'm sorry. I interrupted. Say your name again.
ericshouse.net is my website.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Talk
to
you soon.
Filling in for Ralph Garman in the Showbiz Beat one more time for this Friday Kevin Amin Show. We've had an ass full of bad news today as a result of the shooting in the theater in Aurora, Colorado, which, by the way, they have canceled all screenings for the weekend. That theater is just going to be closed down. It makes sense. It's a working crime scene.
Sure.
But The Dark Knight Rising expected to make something north of $175 million this weekend. I'm excited to see it. Can't wait to talk about it on Monday. You want to start the Showbiz Beat with some good news? You want to get us off into the weekend with some good news?
Yeah. That'd be good.
DirecTV and Viacom worked it out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes!
They hugged it out, bitch. Come on. 20 million DirecTV subscribers have not had access to, 26 channels or something like that provided by Viacom?
Right, yeah.
Including Spike and Comedy Central and MTV, Nickelodeon, BET, a lot of great channels. We haven't had them since July 10th for over a week, but they finally, the details have not been released about how they constructed the new contract, because that's what happened is the old contract ran out. We don't know who's paying more money or what the terms are, but the important thing is you can turn on your TV and finally you can see the Jersey Shore. Now that's back.
Yes!
So congratulations. I'm very happy because, as we've been talking about, my fear was this was going to turn into one of those G4 deals where it seemed urgent and they were going to work on it and then they'd all forget about it and then it would go away and never come back.
All right, let's talk about Katy Perry. She's tired. She needs a vacation. So Katy Perry is going to go to South America. Now, New York Page 6 says that she's planning a 3-month trip to South America with her brother David and a buddy.
That's moving. Really?
For 3 months?
That is.
That's not a vacation anymore,
no.
Is it?
How many new buddies do you think David is going to have? How many people do you think are like, hey, dude, it's been a long time. You going on any trips or anything?
Yeah.
That want to hang out with Katy Perry.
The headline is now, Katy Perry gets roommates, moves to Argentina.
Yeah.
So it's that's her brother awesome. And a third to yet be mentioned. Mm. And I just want to say, I think David is the best.
He is
the Perrys.
Best. Uh-huh. You've been meaning to call him, right?
David Perry is great. He's a great, great guy.
I love Katy Perry so much, but still could not get the energy up to go see her movie. Did you guys see it? Did anyone see it?
I would have seen it if it was a little more of her.
Not many people did. I heard it was good, though.
I heard it was good, too. maybe at some point it'll be on the satellite. Here's some casting news that I think is interesting about a lot of actors I like. Jennifer Jason Leigh, who's so despicable and so hateable, yet so great on Weeds.
Yes.
Has signed on Lisa May to join the cast of one of your favorite primetime shows, Revenge.
I don't watch Revenge.
Oh, you don't? That's not the one you're talking about with Kerry Washington?
That's Scandal.
Scandal.
Oh, same thing. Revenge.
They're
Scandal.
Not at, same all thing at all the same thing, but I have heard that Revenge is very good.
Jennifer Jason Leigh, of course, famous for Fast Times at Ridgemont High, single white female. Maybe here's her biggest movie. But anyway, she's going to be playing Emily's mother on a show Lisa's never heard of called Revenge.
I have heard of it. I just don't watch it.
Patton Oswalt, our buddy, who is a tremendous actor. He's every bit as good the actor as he is the comedian, is a new addition to Burn Notice on the USA Network.
No kidding. I watch that show all the time.
So
he's going to be playing a smuggler on that show. Robin Williams has a pair of movies coming out, both of which kind of sound interesting. One is he has signed on to play President Eisenhower in the upcoming movie The Butler. Now, this is a movie that is a true life story about the White House butler, a man who worked at the White House serving the president for 8 different chief executives. And they're making a movie about all the stuff that goes on in his life as the White House butler, which I think sounds fascinating.
And who is he? Robin Williams? Is he the butler?
President Eisenhower.
Oh,
Dwight
he's the
Eisenhower.
President. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, he makes a good Eisenhower.
He'd be a great Eisenhower, yeah. The movie begins shooting this month in New Orleans. The all-star cast includes Forest Whitaker, Oprah Winfrey, who, by the way, doesn't get on the big screen very often, Vanessa Redgrave, Terrence Howard, John Cusack, Alan Goodman, Jane Fonda, all going to be in that film.
Wow.
The other movie that Robin Williams is doing, and he's hit or miss for me. He makes a lot of choices that I do not support in the theater. But this one, The Angriest Man in Brooklyn, he plays a patient that goes into a clinic where a doctor tells him he only has 90 minutes to live, so he sets off to see if he can fix all the things he's done wrong in his life in his last hour and a half. That could be a dark comedy that could be very funny,
Or it could be him in a clown suit. We don't know yet which direction that's going to go. I don't know too much about the writer or director of this one, but that's some interesting casting news, I think.
Two hot chicks in the news. One is Charlize Theron.
Mm-hmm.
She has no problem, she tells W Magazine. No issues about getting naked. She's not hung up on that for photo shoots. She's fine with that. She works with
Her W Magazine shoot, this one that just came out.
Is there a video
of it? Have you seen it?
Pictures? No.
I didn't see video. I just saw pictures. They did a new shoot, her and Michael Fassbender, to promote this Prometheus movie around the world. And, oh, my God, she's unbelievably hot.
She is, yeah. And she doesn't mind getting naked because she says she works with a lot of people to make her feel very comfortable.
Good for her.
One of which I don't think I would be. So they would ban me. And Kate Beckinsale doesn't like panties. I've been bringing you that story all day. That's an important one. She told Maxim Magazine, yeah, I don't really wear them. I mean, unless I'm wearing a really short skirt, or maybe I'm going on a mountain expedition with extra layers, I don't like them.
Maybe she wears such tight clothing, they just get in the way.
Maybe too much visible panty liner.
Yeah, well, maybe that's why you have a thong, but if it's tight enough, even that would show.
Yeah.
Look, she doesn't like them. Let's just go with that.
Okay.
I think fewer items between me and Kate Beckinsale's vagina is a plus, so I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not mad at that news at all. And finally, why are we so obsessed as a world with whether or not George Clooney gets married?
I don't know.
Why do so many people care that he's in his 50s now and hasn't gotten married? Is it just that they think he's too good a catch for somebody to not get? Or why? Lisa, you're a chick, right?
Well, I think for men, he's living the life and it pisses them off. So they want him to get married.
But I'm not angry and I don't understand why that's still a story. I mean,
and for women, it's just
someone's going to land
him. Great. Someone is going to land him.
Okay, but let's remember that he was married once before and they got a divorce. So who knows if it's that great?
Years and years ago.
Right, but I'm saying he's been there, and now it just seems like every time he dates a woman, every time he's in a photo with a woman, they start asking, is this the one? Are they going to get married?
Now
TMZ is in the news with a story that Stacey Keibler's parents and George Clooney's parents were at George's home in Lake Como, Italy at the same time. Could that mean wedding bells? I don't get the deal. And I guess it's kind of like, why isn't Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt, why aren't they married yet? It's the same kind of a thing.
But
it just
who cares?
It seems to annoy people that if there's somebody out there who's not doing things in the same order that you would do it, then somehow there's something wrong with them. That's the impression
like
I
us.
Get.
But 50% of married people are miserable.
Right. And
yes,
George Clooney
like
is always
us.
Happy.
So what?
We hate it. Stop
what?
Being so happy. Damn you. Feel your life
happy.
Cannot be that good.
Celebrity birthdays today. Guitarist Carlos Santana is 65. Chris Cornell is only 48 years old. Looks like he's 28, bastard. Yeah. Stone Gossard, Pearl Jam's 46. Josh Holloway from Lost is 43. Sandra Oh, or as Bean says, Sandra No, is 41. Omar Epps is 39. Simon Rex is 38. Judy Greer is 37.
Oh, I love Judy so much. She's on Two and a Half Men.
Dancer, country singer Julianne Hough is 24, and supermodel Gisele Bündchen is 32 years old. And that is the Showbiz Beat. Thank you for listening. We will see you on Monday morning with a brand new show.
By the way, Total Recall world premiere tickets, and we're sending you to the Reading Festival in England on Monday, don't you know?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, I really like penis.
Stop it. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Just pretty much took his pants off and went crazy.
Roll another one.
Meat packers. I'm a happily married man.
Just like the other one.
So if I'm hearing you right, you're calling me a dumbass.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
I need another hit.
Check, 1, 2, 1, 2, check, hot, test, 1, 2, check, 1, 2, sounds good, sounds hot.
Nope.
Roll another one.
I didn't come over here to eat tacos.
Just like the other one.
By the way, I don't take no orders from no women.
Are you scared of poo-poo?
I don't have another cent.
Meditation is a waste of time, like learning French or kissing after sex.
Whites only, is that it? You're a prick.
Just pass it around.
Why? Have you ever? Why?
I'm
not saying, I'm just saying.
I just pass it on down.
pleasure.
It's true. You guys sucked ass.
It was boring. People were sleeping. Nobody enjoyed it. There was no good feeling. Too bad. It was a great institution. It's gone.
Run for your lives, everyone. This is not a drill.
You know how they say it's been a pleasure? It hasn't.
Where are you going?
I'm getting the hell out of Dodge, kid. And so should you.